6, Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your T-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Tune in every Saturday afternoon at 4:30 for the Apostolic Faith Hour broadcast on AM 920 WGNU. Bishop James A. Johnson of the Bethesda Temple Church of the Apostolic Faith extends a warm invitation to tune in and discover the church where Jesus completely saves. That's the Apostolic Faith Hour every Saturday afternoon at 4:30. On your gospel voice of choice, AM 920 WGNU.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Ah, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Whew, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me. But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! That is moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You see us on television. You hear about us on the news. But do you really know policemen on the street? Now is your chance to find out. This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics of interest ranging from review boards to high-speed chases. We'll all discuss gangs and drugs and how both affect your neighborhood every Thursday morning at 10. We'll bring you politicians from Jefferson City and officials from the city of St. Louis as they craft laws which will impact your everyday life. I won't fix your tickets. I will offer you tips on personal safety and ways to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggard, Thursday morning at 10, only on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin. Just to be close to you. And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait. When you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
July is Smart Irrigation Month. Water is a resource.
resource that we must preserve for future generations. Smart irrigation controllers can help you keep a healthy lawn with a minimum of water. Smart controllers use sensors and internet technology to irrigate according to weather conditions and plant needs. Learn more about smart irrigation at smartirrigationmonth.org. News to you from AM 920.
Dimes are shiny and round. Nickels are also round.
This is a 28-year-old woman.
And quarters. Quarters are the biggest circles.
She may sound a little strange to you and me.
Quarters are like the granddaddies of coins.
But to her 3-year-old daughter learning about words and shapes, she makes perfect sense.
Pennies are round too.
They are.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments like preparing for work or an errand at the bank, and turn them into learning moments.
But dollars are not round.
No, dollars are rectangles.
Yeah, rectangles. I like dollars.
Yep, most people do, honey. Most people do.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution. I think
motion in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this end?
It is time for us to use our power. Power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can
this end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Understand, this is for all of my ancestors who were raped, who were killed, and hung because of their plight for freedom and for dignity. They died for me, and they died for you. This is for them to know that, yes, we are still fired up, and we're still talking about revolution.
We want to see who in here do we want to stay.
adhesive, I'm not talking about color. I'm talking about an agenda that's in the best interest of the black, the poor, and the vulnerable in this society.
Yes, yes, yes. We have much, much, much to talk about. This is Liz Brown. We have an amazing show. Well, it is the wake-up call. We have an amazing show for you today. Of course, since it's Thursday, we have Eye on the Lou at 7 o'clock. But then we have, I'm telling you, an amazing show for you today. We have In the 8 o'clock hour, we have Justice for Reggie, okay? We're going to be talking about D. Joyce Hayes deciding that an innocent man was guilty, but that is her job, making the innocent guilty. But then in the 9 o'clock hour, fasten your seatbelts, keep your kids home from school. We're going to be talking about an all-white jury in Louisiana convicting a black teenager, an African teenager, for attacking a white student. Why? We're talking about nooses hanging from trees. We're talking about death threats to black kids. We're talking about white-only trees. Oh, you don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss this. And this baby is a high school football star. 20 years in prison. Oh, were there any injuries? Oh, no. Oh, no, there weren't. We're going to be talking about this incredible story. The mamas, the daddies, the activists are going to be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah, because that's how we roll here on The Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 28 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. There's a water main break at Olive westbound at 82nd Street. This is in University City. Only the center lane is getting by. All lanes are open eastbound, so the westbound lanes look for some delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for traffic to be building this hour. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for the normal delays there. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Heavy volume already, which means eastbound 44 from just east of Soccer Park all the way into 270. Look for some slowdowns there. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill into 255, and then again from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is building, especially in the left-hand lanes. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. No problems with that ramp at this hour. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for no problems to report there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Expect that everything should be rolling well at this hour. Northbound 270 at Highway 70. Look for no delays in the 70 off-ramps. And then eastbound 70 just east of Earth City Expressway through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for no problems to report there. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and the weekend. For today, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this afternoon, otherwise a high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers with a low in the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. Saturday and Sunday, looks like a great weekend. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear, low in the upper 60s. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 65 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 69. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, it's more with Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a long one. It is.
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Energy Care is once again providing window unit air conditioners for low-income families. The summer cooling program is for homebound St. Louis City and County residents who have a severe medical need for a cool environment. Energy Care staff will visit your home and install the air conditioner. To request or donate an air conditioner, call 314-773-5900. Something for you from WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. Come on, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Yeah, we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Brown. The truth will set you free.
All right, now.
Miss Brown, I'm so glad that you read that letter to us yesterday, what Jamelo Nashi said to you, us, about it's over with. I don't know where she thinks she's coming from. It's
right. You know what? It's just, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. What are we playing? Coward politics now?
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
You got some other deal out there going on? What's up with that?
And Ms. Brown, it's just as worse as when I told you that Rodney Hubbard wants Mayor Coleman's job.
I know.
That's ridiculous, Ms. Brown.
Jamila was dancing at his announcement.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she was. Her and Jeff Smith. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, it ain't over with yet, Miss Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Mabel ain't over with yet.
Oh, yeah.
Lord, what a mess, Miss Brown. But, Miss Brown, I called to let you know that on Charles Jekyll report last night.
Why would you mention somebody else's name on my show?
I'm sorry, Miss Brown. I won't mention, I shouldn't have mentioned his name. I want to let you know who he had on the program. It was a little boy and his mother, and she's concerned about the school not being accredited. So she said he's in the fifth grade, Miss Brown. He's a good student. But, he contacted Desi, and Desi told the mother, anybody in the St. Louis Public Schools still continues to send your children to the school, even though they're not accredited. So she said she's going to do that, and she said when she gets ready for middle school, she might have to move to another district.
So other folks are talking about the issue that we brought to the forefront months ago.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now you talking about it?
Now you talking about it.
Because I remember that same person didn't interview any of our babies.
Sure did,
didn't interview any of our babies when they were sitting in City Hall, when they were shutting City Hall down.
Yes, ma'am.
He didn't talk to any one of our babies. Oh, now that it's over, did it just penetrate through your density? Apparently so.
Then they talked to another lady, Miss Brown. Her name is Sullivan. She's over at UMSU. She said that when you look at the website, he said Desi has no plan. Lee made this move.
Well, wait a minute. What have we been saying from the very beginning?
Thank you, Miss Brown.
Catch up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, catch up to the wake-up call.
Thank you. No
All right.
plan.
All right.
And, Miss Brown, I'm glad the lawsuit was filed, because if they think they're going to push Rick Sullivan and those two other people down our throats, Miss Brown, it's not going to work.
It ain't happening, Miss Brown.
And I'm very upset with Dr. Borshaw. She needs to get her act together.
True fact.
And Miss Brown, those firings that Rick Sullivan did—that's illegal. Like
people need to
be sued.
They need to be sued, Miss Brown.
And Miss Brown, I'm so glad Peter didn't file that lawsuit. Miss Brown, you have a beautiful, happy day.
Take care of yourself.
You
do the same. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. Let me go national here for a moment, because we're going to be going local. We're going to be going local in the next hour. Al Franken, remember him? Well, he's no longer on the radio. He's running for the United States Senate in the state of Minnesota. Al Franken has raised $1.9 million for his Senate race. That's more than anybody else, including the incumbent. He's raised the money from all of the state's 87 counties, from 27,000 individuals. He's outdistanced his main Democratic rival by 3-1. Well, Al Franken has outraised the Republican incumbent by $300,000. Well, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We need to do a segment on the show dedicated to our Republican folks out here. We'll call it Crying and Lying. No. Caught Crying and Lying. Y'all want to talk about what's going on in the world of politics in the Republican land? Let me go to Louisiana. Republican Senator David Vitter, a self-proclaimed conservative, social conservative, right? He's the one that's peeking and sneaking in our bedrooms, saying, y'all nasty. We need to change the laws because y'all nasty. They want to make rules about what people do in their own bedrooms. They want to judge you based on the God you worship. He's the one shaking his intolerant finger in your face and tisking you. Hello. How is it that the Washington madam, House of Ill Repute, had his number on speed dial? How is that? Because he's a hypocrite. Because the Republicans are hypocrites. Huh. Huh. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Republican Senator David Vitter was seeing hookers in Washington, D.C. Was seeing hookers in Washington, D.C. Ain't that some stuff? What does that tell you about this party? What does that tell you about George Bush? What does it tell you about these Republicans that are out there? And let's go to the field. I mean, remember, these are people that are shoving their, shaking their highfalutin, snoity-toity finger in our face and telling us, tis, you are pro-choice. You are against the death penalty. God doesn't like that. Well, I don't know how God feels about prostitution, but I can't see that he's on the pro side of prostitution. I'm just guessing. But let's look at the Republicans that are running for office for the president's race. John McCain, Fred Thompson, Giuliani have all been divorced. None of the Democrats running for office have been divorced. Oh, and in the case of Rudy Giuliani, that would be twice. And also, we have Newt Gingrich sitting in the wings thinking about popping his little head up into the red race for the presidency. He's a guy who's been divorced twice. He's a guy that was carrying on an affair after he was, during the time he was going after Bill Clinton for carrying on an affair. These guys just stink to high heaven. These guys just stink. You can stick your face out the window right now and point it in the direction of Washington, D.C., and you can smell them. These guys are rank. And it's not because they sin, because everybody sins. Tell me somebody that doesn't, and I'll show you a liar. Or I'll show you George W. Bush, whichever. The issue is not that people sin. The issue is that these people are hypocritical about their sins. And not only are they hypocritical, they're punitive to others in the midst of their sins. And they're punitive to others on the issue of sins in the midst of their sins. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some chocolate-covered stuff? Ooh! 1-877-920-WGNU. Yeah, one Republican said, well, you know, if you're looking for Jesus on the Republican ticket, you're not going to find him, you think? And I don't think that anybody was looking for Jesus. I think what people were looking for were men and women that would look you in the face, not judge you, and then commit the same sin that they're judging you for. Hypocrites. Folks ain't looking for Jesus. They just looking for someone that's not a hypocrite and a liar and a fake. And an unrepentant until I get caught sinner. Oh, they repentant after they get caught up with television cameras. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. What's a poor Republican to do in a presidential election? Do I vote for the guy that cheated on his wife? No, told his wife on her deathbed that he was divorcing her? Do I vote for the guy that's been twice divorced and lived with his girlfriend and left his wife in the governor's mansion? Do I vote for the other guy that has been divorced? Well, huh? Now, y'all got a lot to worry about, don't you? I'm going to leave you to your worries. Y'all go figure out which one of these senators you're going to be supporting in the Republican primary. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
I'm Phil Person of Person Roofing. We've been in business about 17 years, and we've advertised on WGNU almost that whole time. We have installed over 5,000 roofs in that period of time, and today I have a customer here. His name is Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Merriweather, I think we installed a roof on your house about 10 or 12 years ago.
Yes, you did.
Recently, you had a little storm damage on that roof, didn't you?
I sure did.
Can you tell what happened?
Yeah, Mr. Person come out and repaired my roof and didn't charge me anything.
And you haven't had any problems since we did a repair?
I sure haven't.
Even though your warranty was out, we still came out and took care of your roof.
Right.
We try to service our customers, and if you would like to have a new roof, call us at 361-7127. That's Person Roofing at 361-7127. All phases of roofing.
Visit the Veterans Memorial Museum in Branson. Over 2,000 exhibits tell the stories of men and women who defended our freedoms during the wars of the 20th century. The Veterans Memorial Museum is a national tribute to our veterans and features the world's largest war memorial bronze statue. The Veterans Memorial Museum is easy to find. Just look for the full-size World War II P-51 Mustang fighter plane on West Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Call 417-336-2300.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Of Africans chained to the slave ships, for the millions of scars on their backs and face by the bullwhip, for the millions who jumped overboard, for the blood that poured on the shores of North America, South America, Central America, and Europe. And each ripple in the ocean is a grave for an African who refused to be a slave. For the millions who cut the cane, picked the cotton, whose names have been forgotten, whose flesh has rotten with the trees they hung us from. Cut out our tongues, cut off our hands if we played the drums. For the millions, for the millions.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Say my name. Oh, say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We got stuff to talk about. Yes, 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 we do. 1-877-920-WGNU. Hey, 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 hey. We have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. Ooh, I went retro there. Went retro there. Watching too much Nickelodeon. Hey, hey, hey. Whoo, we're going to have an amazing show today, an amazing show today at 9 o'clock. Oh, you know, just, it's just, this world, this country, this time, this place, Lord, Louisiana, an all-white jury in Jenna swiftly convicted an African teenager for attacking a white student. Huh. What was the cause of that? White students sitting under a whites-only tree. Been that way for decades. They hung nooses in the trees. Black kids got into fights. Principal, everybody, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Baby went to trial. Convicted. Facing 20 years. Oh, did I mention nobody was hurt? We're going to be talking to family members about this horrible case, this horrible, horrible, horrible case. And that's going to be in the 9 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock hour. We're going to be talking about Justice for Reggie, of course, as always, Justice for Reggie. Some news coming out of the Jennifer Joyce's office. And she does what she do. I got to give her credit. And she'll find a way to make the innocent into a guilty person. And she did her job, because that's what it is, making innocent into guilty. 1-877-920-WGNU. And, of course, in the 7 o'clock hour, I on the Lou Earl.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
Oh, great, great. I just wanted to weigh in on a conversation that you and Peter were discussing yesterday with when he requested to see the reason why the people were fired.
Yes, sir.
And then the guy Sullivan told Russell not to give him that information.
And she didn't.
Right, and what I'm saying is that's a matter of public record. Not only should Peter should have ever got, but I as a taxpayer, if I wanted to see the reason why.
Actually, you couldn't. He was asking for performance records.
Performance records.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's for why they were terminated.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. You're not entitled to that. That's personnel stuff.
Oh, that's personnel?
Yeah, that's personnel stuff. But school board members are entitled to see that.
Right. Okay. All right. I just want to check. Okay, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
Bye. 1-877-920-WGNU.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to talk about. Oh, can I tell you some more stuff about how you're being conned? Can I tell you some more stuff about how you're being conned? George W. Bush, right? Boy George. He said yesterday that administration officials are, the first Surgeon General for Boy George said that Boy George prevented him from providing you and me, that would be you, that would be me, that would be you, that would be me, with accurate scientific and medical information on issues such as teen pregnancy. Wait a minute. A doctor was prevented politically from telling the citizens the truth about teen pregnancy and about stem cell research. The reality is that the nation's doctor has been marginalized and relegated to a position with no independent budget and with supervisors who are political appointees with partisan agendas. Oh, should I underscore this, that we're talking about your health? We're talking about your health. Huh. My goodness gracious. Now, the Surgeon General is not a naive person. Not naive. Not naive. But he said that the interference that he received was taken to new levels, because they all got interference. Huh. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. Wander?
Hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know. This might be off the subject, but the guy, the Homeland Security guy who has the gut feeling.
Sure enough.
He don't get paid to have a gut feeling. Don't he get paid to get some facts? This is just crazy. So we know some folks going to come up there this summer, right?
We know that they're moving tankers into the Gulf of Iran.
Uh-huh.
They're getting ready to kick it off. They're getting ready to kick it off because right now the Democrats are set to push some of these Republicans, and these Democrats are finally getting it. Well, maybe we should do something about this war. And Republicans are saying, I'm not going to win an election with my position on this war.
Right.
If they come out and say, we want the troops home within 180 days, I guarantee you, Wanda, I guarantee you that we will be at war with Iran.
Yeah, it's going down.
Oh, is it going to kick it off?
It's going to get kicked off.
Yeah.
What are we going to do, Liz?
Well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. I mean, you know, I mean, that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I mean, every person out there needs to be writing letters to their elected officials and saying, here's the thing. You know, if I were in charge, Wanda, here's what I would do. Let me give you an example. In, you know how Boy George is telling his attorney, former attorney, you don't have to go down there and testify?
Uh-huh.
You know how he's giving them orders to ignore a subpoena? You know what I would say to Boy George if I were Nancy Pelosi? Uh-huh. And I would say to make every member of Congress say, what part of under God do you not understand? Okay, I mean, these are people that are swearing to take an oath. So help me God. So what part of? I'm sorry. What part of? So help me God confuses you. Are you afraid of? Why don't you want your people to come in and say, so help me God, Mr. Christian conservative? And that is the hypocrisy of this administration. What part of so help me God scares you?
Wow. Missy.
All right now, Wanda.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you take care now.
You too.
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. Coming back at you with Eye on the Loo. You know what's up. Stay with us.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. Maybe all those reports about Al-Qaeda regrouping in the U.S. have people jittery. A plane headed from Los Angeles to London made an emergency landing in New York today after a flight attendant thought one of the people on board had avoided security by taking an employees-only bus to the plane. Well, it turns out it may have been an employee. Overreaction, perhaps, but that's what flying is like in 2007, says aviation expert John Nance.
We do have a level of absurdity, of course. And that flight crews, pilots and co-pilots, the very people who are operating the airplane are still supposed to go through these very same checks. And if we can engage in that silliness up in the terminal, we can certainly make sure that where it's a more serious situation downstairs or in some other part of the airport, that security is maintained to the same level.
The passenger was questioned. Looks like it could have been all a misunderstanding. New intelligence study suggests Al-Qaeda has grown to pre-9/11 levels.
Despite years of constant assault in the wake of 9/11, Al-Qaeda has regenerated. That is the conclusion of a new still-classified report entitled Al-Qaeda, better positioned to strike the West. U.S. officials are particularly worried about recent intensive terrorist training in the tribal regions of Pakistan. Law enforcement and intelligence sources tell ABC News hundreds of Islamist radicals have been to Pakistan training camps in the last 3 years and have dispersed worldwide. The fears that some of those radicals have been sent to Europe and perhaps even the U.S. Pierre Thomas, ABC News, Washington.
How'd you feel if your kid came home with 8 satisfactory and 8 not satisfactory grades on his report card? That's how the Iraqi government is doing, according to the report card that'll be delivered to Congress today. Brigadier General Robert Holmes says the Iraqis might not like it, but the Americans in uniform get it.
We understand that our job, our mission, is to do what we've been asked to do, and they do that, and they're doing a great job of it.
Private funeral planned for Saturday for Lady Bird Johnson. She died yesterday at the age of 94. This is ABC News.
Honey, remember how I felt after swing dancing?
Oh, you got a pain reliever for your arthritis pain.
That wasn't as bad as trying Dennis.
When you got something just for a sore shoulder.
But I'm done taking different pain relievers. Now I'm all Advil.
Mm-hmm.
It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain.
So what are we waiting for? Let's dance.
I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Compared to OTC pain relievers for minor arthritis pain, use as directed.
What if I told you I could make your acne disappear and leave you with beautiful, healthy-looking skin? With all the acne promises out there, you're skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a risk-free 60-day trial of a remarkable product called Proactive Solution. Proactive was developed by dermatologists for you to use at home without spending hundreds of dollars on doctor visits. To get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Solution, just call 1-800-550-2238. Call 1-800-550-2238 for your risk-free trial. 1-800-550-2238.
California's largest wildfire is now in mop-up mode. The 35,000-acre blaze in the Inyo National Forest is under control, so crews are being sent to fight blazes in other parts of the state. Will a sick bull that's a symbol to many in Britain be allowed to live? Still being debated, says ABC's Linda Albin.
It's now up to the court to decide whether Shambo the bull is given a reprieve. The bull, which has its own webcam and shrine on a Hindu commune in southwest Wales, has been diagnosed with bovine tuberculosis. But Brother Jamie says Shambo is being kept in isolation, adding all life is sacred.
The cow is the provider of sustenance and milk, and the bull is the provider of power and transport to help in creation, farming, and so on.
If the court goes against Shambo, the monks are planning an appeal. Linda Albin, ABC News, London.
Well, Shambo never gored anyone, but a few did at the San Fermin Festival in Pamplona. It is the annual running of the bulls time of year. Today, the bloodiest day yet. 7 people gored, including 2 Americans. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a Metro East man is suspected of beating his dog. 33-year-old Darren Kreider was charged yesterday with cruel treatment of animals. Granite City police say Kreider had been drinking before hitting the dog with a 2x4 on Monday. The man reportedly said the dog had been hit by a car and he was trying to put it out of its misery. The Labrador Retriever has been treated by a veterinarian and will recover from its injuries. Kreider faces up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine if convicted. He is in Granite City Jail on $7,500 bond. A stolen car suspect is in jail after a high-speed chase. The Pine Lawn police chief says the suspect stole a Dodge Intrepid and led police on a 20-minute pursuit after an attempted traffic stop. The driver eventually lost control and burst two tires when he made a sharp turn. The car's engine overheated as well, and the suspect attempted to escape on foot before police captured him. Finally this hour, Albert Pujols spent the All-Star game on the bench. The Cardinals' first baseman was the only member of the National League team that did not play in the game. Cards manager Tony La Russa reportedly held him out in case the game went to extra innings and he needed reinforcements. Pujols has made it to the NL All-Star team in 5 of his previous 6 big league seasons. He was reportedly upset that La Russa did not use him in the game, especially with the game on the line in the 9th inning. The NL has not won the Midsummer Classic since 1996. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 from Herculaneum McNutt through Route M. Look for an accident. Shoulders blocked. That's at Highway M. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 70 from Bermuda through Lucas and Hunt. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked at Lucas and Hunt. The exit to Lucas and Hunt is closed at this hour. Look for stop-and-go traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic, especially in the left-hand lanes. Westbound Olive at 82nd Street. Only the center lane is getting by as there's a water main break. And that's going westbound on Olive at 82nd as in University City. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got slow traffic at the top of that ramp. You also have slow traffic westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into the landing. Look for delays. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. Look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for delays. And eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slowdowns. Northbound 270 at 44 and Doherty Ferry. Look for some slowdowns there as well. Consequently, eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. That is a look at your traffic now. Let's take a look at your forecast. For today, tomorrow, and the weekend. For today, partly sunny. Chance of showers this afternoon. Otherwise, a high in the mid-80s. For this evening, partly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low around the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy. Highs in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy. Lows in the mid-60s. And then on Saturday, mostly sunny. High in the upper 80s. Saturday evening, mostly clear. Low around the upper 60s. And on Sunday, mostly sunny skies. High around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 67 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 71, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next? It's Eye on Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. That's on the way. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. This is AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can this
end? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
It's time now for Eye on the Loo. Redistricting, hand-picked school board members, up-and-coming elections, recalls, battles in Jefferson City, knock-down dragouts.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's Thursday, it's Thursday, it's Thursday, it's 7 a.m., and it is time for Eye on the Loo. My name is Liz Brown, and I am here with Irene J. Smith. Irene, good morning.
Good morning, Liz, and listening audience.
We have a number of things that to talk about. In the 9 o'clock hour, Irene, I'm going to be talking to some family members and some activists out of Louisiana about a young man who was convicted by an all-white jury for assaulting
A white child. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's interesting about that case is the racial component to it, but also the fact that we had this all-white jury convict him. And thinking about the energy of it, because they had the tree with the nooses hanging from it, and the African children responded to that because the school did not weigh in on this. And I was thinking about the school and their contribution to that, what happened to the fights and to the young African kids being terrorized. And I think to what happened over the weekend with this young, 13-year-old little girl that was stabbed and died. And hopefully I'll be able to have her on later this week. But I want to talk about that in that story in the context of the story in Louisiana, because one of the issues coming out of that story is that the mother was not allowed to ride in the ambulance with her baby. The mother was taken to the police station. The mother didn't even know that her baby had died, and the police and the ambulance took so long to get to the scene. Now, again,
and the police,
here's the thing. Once again, we have this contributory actions. You know, we live in a city where you and I have seen it countless times, where the quality of neither the serve nor the protect reaches certain communities when the police are involved in the city of St. Louis.
That's true. It's interesting that you bring it up, because Mother Grant and I were talking about exactly the same thing. And then I had earlier talked with a store owner in my community that was talking about this incident with the baby whose funeral was today, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of times that police indicated that the police had been called, but not only how this 13-year-old had had some problems, and there had been some attempt at calling for, like, other little matters that he was involved in. So there's a sufficient amount of blame to go around, but certainly the issue of our community not being properly policed.
There's no serve and there's no protect. You know, I mean, just think about this. This is a 13-year-old baby who was at Carr Lane, student at Carr Lane. She was a star student. She was stabbed to death, and by allegedly by a 12-year-old. Now, these are two tragedies. These are two tragedies, and this baby, the mother was treated like she was the criminal. The mother wasn't allowed to go with her baby, and then no response from 911. No response from 911. This speaks volumes about the nature and the type of city that we live in.
I mean, it goes back into the conversation I was having with a gentleman. He said, "Ms. Smith, how is it that I know the clockwork time of, you know, drugs being delivered to a certain location and just open-air drug dealing, and nothing is done about it until there is a tragedy with the officer that was over in up near Albert."
Okay, and we have to take a break.
Right.
We're going to come back with that. My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Irene J. Smith because this is Eye on the Lou, because it's Thursday at 7 o'clock. Stay with us. People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Want to help local charities and not-for-profit groups? Want to have a great time doing it? Then head down to Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey in Soulard this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. for a party on the patio. Every week, a different organization receives a portion of the proceeds and all the tips that their volunteer service can bring in. There's a featured drink each week, free hors d'oeuvres, and live music. Summer fun and helping others has never been so easy. Party on the patio with Patty Long's 9th Street Abbey all summer long. This week's party benefits the Soulard Beautification Committee.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work, and it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Friday morning at 11 for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales, Friday morning at 11 on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. We're talking about local issues that impact the city, the state, the region, what's going on, what's percolating through, what's pounding through the issues here in this region. That's why we call it Eye on the Lou. And we're talking about the death of the murder of 13-year-old Alexis Purdy. Little baby, star student at Carlang Visual and Performing Arts Middle School, stabbed to death last Thursday night, a week ago, allegedly by a 12-year-old neighbor. Family members said that they called the police many times about the 12-year-old harassing this 13-year-old,
exactly.
and the police had didn't do anything.
Did respond. And see, that area, the 7th District, has had repeated problems. You know, I've talked with Alderman. Well, that's the 8th district that where this incident.
This is Bosley's.
Right. That's the 8th. I think the 8th or the 5th district where this happened.
Okay.
But there have been instances where police repeatedly are called to areas and there's no response to situations. Now, I know before once there was an experiment done where someone called about an incident.
Mm-hmm.
And the police didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
And then they called and they said that someone had accosted
a white person. And the police responded.
I mean, and so for our people that confirms that from the police perspective is that you're not valued.
Mm-hmm.
We are not valued.
And I mean, let's just break that little social experiment down. About what it says about this city. You call and you say that you call from the third ward. The police are going to assume that you're a black person. They're going to listen to the voice. They're going to draw a conclusion. They're going to listen to the request, and they're going to draw a conclusion. You say a crime has occurred. No police show up. That same voice calls from that same neighborhood and says that a white victim is involved. Then the police respond.
Quickly.
So, in fact, a friend of mine was telling me a story about this over the weekend about how she was in a car accident, and this was in North St. Louis. It was about midnight, and two white girls went in a car, drove up and hit her car. Clearly, ran through the intersection, hit her car, destroyed her, totaled her car. Police came. White cops came. The white girls were not given a ticket. They were not, and they admitted. They said, "Yeah, we weren't paying attention when we went through the intersection." They said that out loud. They weren't given a ticket, and they weren't charged at all. And it luckily, my friend, and this is what I love about our community, she was sitting there, and it was midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. A brother who happened to see it happen pulled up behind her, because my girlfriend was in the car by herself, and he was with his girlfriend coming back from something. He stayed with her. He took out a disposable camera that he had. He took pictures of everything that happened, and he followed her home to make certain that she got home okay.
Mm.
Oh, no, he took her home because her car was totaled. He took her home and made sure that she got home okay.
Mm.
And but for his pictures, she would have had because that report ain't going to be any good. If you don't even give the people that drove through an intersection admittedly and hit your car and destroyed your car, you didn't give them a ticket? Imagine what that report's going to be like. And that's exactly what we're seeing happen, the same type of thing that we're seeing happen in our community all the time.
And it is. And, you know, you meet with and sometimes you have some very well-meaning commanders of some of these districts. But either there's policy from downtown, and, you know, you ask the question, how much manpower is being assigned to this community? Where are they located? You know, who's on traffic duty? Who's on call duty? How many are patrolling this area? You don't really get a lot of specific numbers. And until we get local control of our police department, and I'm talking about local control that is fashioned by the St. Louis Board of Aldermen and not that gives local control of the police department to the office of the mayor, we're not going to see a difference in the quality and the type of services that we receive from the St. Louis Police Department.
We're not. And we're not because there is a level of contempt there. There is a level of you don't want to live in the city because people like you and me live in the city.
Because if this city was nothing but white folks, they wouldn't be talking about moving out of the city.
Well, it's occupied territory when police officers don't live in their community. And that is not to say that there are not very good police officers who take their responsibility seriously, because they are. There are.
I know plenty of them.
I know plenty of them that do. And they complain about, you know, say for an example, there's this big issue about the 7th District police captain. Why is he still there? He told one citizen who had been observing some transactions and what was going on in her neighborhood that she didn't know what she was seeing because his snitches told him it wasn't nothing going on in this particular community.
Wait a minute. Someone saw some crime going down. She relayed that to the police.
By email.
And this guy said, my snitches have told me that you will lie.
Right. Basically, that's it.
And I believe my snitches, I don't believe.
Right. Snitch. And not only they have had continual problems with this particular captain, this happens to be the captain of the 7th District.
What's
numerous
name?
Complaints, Moran or okay. something like that. And he is not moved yet. When we get good captains in, say, the 6th District, you know, they're there, they kind of get a handle on things, they're, you know, making inroads in terms of relationships with the with the community, and then they're moved. You know, so people are scratching their heads saying, why is Moran still in the 7th District when we've had all kind of problems with him, when people are complaining about him, when we're reporting crime, and he tells us that his snitches says the crimes are not being committed.
And then let us not forget, once again, that we have a situation in the city of St. Louis where cops that carjack, ticket jack citizens for World Series tickets, they get to keep their jobs.
Right.
Okay? They get to keep their jobs. They can't, and we have a prosecuting attorney that can find no crime in police that ticket jack people for World Series. They can find no evidence of any crime there. And they can find no evidence of any crime in our community either.
Well, it goes back to, you know, your often used statement is, you know,
it's not about the crime, it's about the person accused.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what happens. And I have, you know, this is interesting that we're talking about this, Liz, because we have had so much discussion during the last week on my block and my neighborhood about, you know, people who have just good neighbors who have lived there, you know, 30, 40 years, fed up, cannot get the type of police protection, just leave. Their house is not even sold. The house is still on the market, and they are moving to St. Louis County and to other areas because they don't feel that they're getting proper police. And it just pains me that here's someone whose house is paid for, who is a senior, retired. They're moving because they don't feel like they're getting adequate police protection. They don't feel like the city cares.
But Irene, and you know, as you say that, I think back to a book by Ernest Galloway about city politics and about how what was happening in the 70s, the efforts to move a certain economic base of people of African descent out of the city of St. Louis. How did you do that? Well, people coming up on ownership of their home, they want second mortgages. You don't give them second mortgage. You redline them and push them out into the county to fill up the county. So you lose a certain type of quality of people of African descent. And right now we see with Sullivan attempting to a part of this illegal board, we understand the land grab that is going on. And people that are doing that, they're doing it because they want to do it, but they need to also understand that they're doing it because they're being pushed to do it as part of a larger plan
of
to get rid of their behind, to get them out of this city.
I mean, if you go back and...
Hold that thought. We got to take a break. Hold that thought. We have a bunch of people on the line to share with us. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a quick look at your traffic and your weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Eastbound 70 between Bermuda and Lucas and Hunt. Look for a right lane block due to an accident. That's at Lucas and Hunt, and the exit is closed there. Expect stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Hall's Ferry and the Graham Hanley. Heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 through Doherty Ferry. Look for delays as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Slow traffic in the left lanes. Westbound Olive at 82nd Street in University City. Only the center lane's getting by due to a water main break. Northbound 55 from Herculane and McNutt through Route M. Look for an accident. It's been cleared at Route M, and traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge is very heavy all the way back through Monsanto Avenue. And westbound Kingbridge traffic is very heavy moving across the span into the landing. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for delays as well. There is your look at traffic for the 7:30 edition. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, as well as the weekend. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies. Chance of showers this afternoon. Otherwise, a high in the mid-80s this evening. Partly cloudy with chance of showers. Lows in the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy, high in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny. Saturday with a high in the upper 80s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 68 degrees and clouds. Lambert Fields reporting 71. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Eye on the Lou with Irene J. Smith and Liz Brown. We'll be back following these messages. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion T-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion T-shirts and softball team T-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous T-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address, 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your T-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Good day. This is Tumpe.
This is Belanle.
And this is Angel. Join us for Wonderful every Saturday morning at 5 on AM 920 WGNU as we discuss our relationships between God and self, parent-child, male-female, and work.
We do all that on Wonderful?
Every Saturday morning at 5 a.m.
5 a.m.?
What? Yes, I mean 5 a.m.
Here and there.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. Let me get to a caller or two here. We're talking about the murder of this a beautiful little 13-year-old girl, Alexis Purdy. star student at Car Lane Visual and Performing Arts Middle School. It's a magnet school, y'all. Stabbed to death on Thursday night, allegedly by a 12-year-old neighbor. It's a hurtful, hurtful, hurtful thing. And it's made even more so when, I mean, whose blood, whose hands have her blood on it? If her parents and relatives are calling for the police, dialing 911, nobody is coming, this baby dies, whose hands have her blood? Mm-hmm. They have her blood on it, you know? David.
Yes.
Yes. You're on the air.
Yes, I haven't had an emergency such as that, but I live in the 5th District, and I had many occasions where I called the police, and they didn't respond. They do the same thing. They don't respond to us taxpayers in this district. And as a matter of fact, they came and placed tickets on my cars, and I believe it was vindictive for me calling.
So they didn't have any problem finding your car and loading them up with tickets.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
At 3 o'clock in the morning so they don't get caught. Now, what kind of ticket did you get on your car at 3 o'clock in the morning?
For parking on my own property, and they said that the neighbors were complaining at 3 o'clock in the morning. But earlier that night, I had called them about the guy selling dope out in front of my house. They would lean on my cars and stand in front of my house and sell dope. So I called the law.
Now, wait a minute, David. I just got to dissect this for a second. You made a call about somebody selling dope in front of your house, so comfortable in their game that they were leaning on using your car as a counter to sell some drugs, right? That night, but later, and the police never came, right?
Never came.
And but when somebody called the police about your car, they found a way to get to that same car that same night at 3 o'clock in the morning to give you a ticket.
My dog was barking like crazy. I thought it was the guys out there. So I went out there, and the cops was writing tickets. They were standing on my property.
So I guess the issue is, David, since Blunt has signed a bill that says that if you think somebody is stealing your car and you got your gun and shot out there, and shot the police, the question is whether or not you would have been free to do so.
And I think that there is something in that law that says if you shoot a police officer, then that you don't get the same rights.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So if you shoot not the door and you miss someone and you hit me across the street I'm dead, that's cool.
That just shows
all life is valuable.
Absolutely.
All life is valuable. You know, it's just like people choose to be police officers, noble position to take, you know, but your life is no more value than the average citizen.
That's a fact.
No more valuable than the average citizen.
So David, when you got that ticket on your car that night at 3 o'clock in the morning, you heard your dogs barking, you didn't know, you thought that the drug dealer was back there. Did that make you feel like, David, that I don't want to call the police anymore? How do you feel after doing that, after experiencing that?
I felt that way after the third time they gave me a ticket on my car. I told the police then that, okay, maybe I'm stepping on y'all toes by calling you off on your friends, the dope dealers. Tell them to stay off my cars and get in front of my house so, you know, they won't scare my wife, and I just won't call y'all no more. We just have that mutual agreement.
And did they give you any more tickets?
Not after that. And then the guys, they kind of moved on the corner.
David. So that was the arrangement that you had to come to with the police. You told them, I won't narc on your friend anymore that's selling the dope. Just tell them to get it off my yard.
So it's as if, though, the police were providing protection for the dope dealers?
I'm thinking so, and I accused them of that, but, you know, they're not going to admit to that. But
they stopped ticketing you, though, didn't they?
And to believe it.
They stopped ticketing you, didn't they?
They stopped ticketing me, and then, as of that, three times I called on those guys, and three times the response was I got a ticket for calling the cops.
Isn't that something? Mm. Isn't that something? David, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
1-877-920-WGNU. See?
Mm. And it's unfortunate that that's not just a, you know,
isolated
incident. It's an incident that is repeated over and over and talked about throughout our community. The same thing. The gentleman who was building homes in the first ward said to me, Ms. Smith, I watched. It was like clockwork. He said, now, I just couldn't figure out why the police would know that there were drugs being dealt out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, continuously traffic flow, continuously, you know, people trying to rehab property over there, trying to build new homes over in this particular area. And said, and police just said, well, they don't think nothing's going on there.
You're on Eye on the Lou.
Morning.
Morning.
Yeah, Liz, I just wanted you to explain to some people what star student meant, because some people think it's a popularity contest. The child was an all-A student.
That's right.
Yeah, and
that's right.
I noticed they never mentioned that when they on the TV or anything when they talk about her.
And that's a great observation.
Mm. Now, they always mention the young man that was killed by a drunk driver, the 22-year-old from Rolla School of Mines. They always mention his, you know, status, education.
That's right.
Status.
That's right. You are apt. That's a great observation, and thanks for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
Straight-A student at Carr Lane. Beautiful child. Just a beautiful child. Just a beautiful child.
I mean, you have basically two victims in this situation. You know, your heart has to go out to the family that lost this beautiful, talented, young child. And then this 12-year-old, for whatever reason, running home to get a knife. And hearing about one of the interviews, you know, this child basically didn't have much structure in his life.
Well,
so
you know there had to be something like that going on. You know there had to be something like that going on in this 12-year-old baby's life.
Right.
These are two tragedies. And it's a tragedy that is either enhanced or created by the absence of a serve and protect police department that values our community. There is blood on their hands. How much blood? I don't know. But there is blood on their hands when family members are calling them and they are not showing up. When family members are asking them to do something about this 12-year-old and they don't do anything, there's blood on their hands. We get charged. Us citizens out here get charged all the time for acting with another or for not acting when something is going on. So there's blood on their hands.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. The parents of this 12-year-old, the police, but as I said, someone told me that a lady from the neighborhood said that they had called about this particular kid because it looks like he was a troubled child and into a lot with very little response or no response from the police. And then the day of the incident, it seems that the police was called several times and there was no response.
And I want to move from this to education because it's still the same. They're connected. And as we said earlier, they're connected because there are concerted, actions going on all across this city and this state to deplete the city of St. Louis of a certain type of population, to free up this land in order to, and this plan began decades and decades and decades ago, to free up the land so that others can obtain this land and obtain control numerically of this city once again.
As you know, Liz, one of the first things that we did with IUI was look at the Team 4 plan.
There you go.
And people, we encouraged people to go out to get it. We provided copies of it. People need to just revisit that copy.
Mm-hmm.
Revisit the copy that you have of the Team 4 plan and just see how it is being played out in our community, coupled with land grabs, coupled with what's happening with the St. Louis Public Schools, and coupled with the lack of police services that happen in our community.
Absolutely. And to that end, I want to talk about a letter that was sent to the president of the Board of Education from State Representative Jamila Nasheed. We're going to talk about that when we come back, and people weighing in on this issue. We're going to talk about that when we come back, and we'll get to some more of your calls and your concerns, your observations, your issues. You want to weigh in on this? Do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm here with Irene J. Smith. This is Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated. Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. Previously on the Lone Ranger program.
How come we don't call the government nuts? Because they have sometimes outlandish conspiracy stories. When the government does it, apparently it's okay, but when anybody else does it, then it's wacky. Speaking of that, how come Hillary wasn't called a nutcase for her vast right-wing conspiracy theory that allegedly explained the Monica Lewinsky affair, and nobody ever called her a conspiracy nut? Which is exactly what should have happened. Should have been laughed off the Today Show.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Sloan Ranger Show. Weekdays at 5 o'clock. Only on AM 920 WGNU. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to Eye on the Lou. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with Irene J. Smith, of course, because it's Eye on the Lou. Let's talk about this letter right quick, Irene. This letter that was sent to the president of the St. Louis Board of Education, Peter Downs, from Representative Jamila Nasheed. I'm not going to take the time to read all of the letter, but there are parts of the letter that I have a serious problem with, and it's concerning to me because you and I know when you win the battle, you know, you got to stick and stay in the battle.
You can't give up any ground.
No, you can't give up any ground. And my concern about this letter is what Jamila Nasheed is telling Peter Downs, directing Peter Downs to do. And there's some words that she used in here that have really, really been, that really, really are problematic to me. One of the paragraphs is, in the months since the takeover took effect, the appointed board has been dismissive of any sort of working relationship with the elected board. Okay. For its part, the elected board has resisted the authority of the appointed board.
There is no authority if it's illegally based.
There is no authority if it's illegally based, but then there's an energy that is problematic to me as a woman of African descent. For any African person to tell somebody, especially an elected person, especially somebody that's supposed to understand what
fight and resistance is all about. Resist the authority? You know, we're the ones that are always challenging authority. So now we're having this directive from an African woman to a school board that has been fighting this issue. You're going to resist their authority? Capitulate. You're supposed to respond to their authority. And here's the other piece that is problematic to me. As an elected official, she's supposed to understand that not only are they're illegal, she knows everything about what's going on with this, but there's a case in court right now that's challenging their authority. So, in effect, she's saying to the school board, capitulate to their will, ignore the fact that you're challenging them in the court, and ignore the fact of everything that you know about how we got to where we are.
I think it's basically saying that, but I think the really tenor of the letter is kind of almost, it's kind of consistent with what Peter said. Peter sent out something saying, look, we need to work together to an extent with the understanding that you do not overturn any of the decisions that we made until we get through this legal battle.
Well, it wasn't so much as working together as it was saying, you stay in your corner, we're gonna do our thing, and neither one of us should do anything that is problematic or for the district.
Okay, and I really think that despite my problems, as the problems that you have pointed out with respect to particularly the thing about the authority part, that kind of...
Well, there's also another line. I firmly believe that all parties only want what's best for our young people. And anybody that has assessed this issue knows good and doggone well that Sullivan doesn't give a dang about these kids, and neither does Matt Blunt. So to put out there that everybody is equal in their concern for our children...
I don't believe that.
Well, it's not accurate.
I don't believe it. Perhaps she believes it.
Well, then that's a problem if she believes it.
Yes, that is problematic if she believes it. But I think the tenor of her letter is to say that we need to work together. Now, she believes that there's a special board that was appointed by the mayor and the president of the Board of Aldermen and Blunt, that they're working in the best interest of the children. I don't believe that.
Nor should she.
I don't believe that. But I think the overall tenor of the letter is we need to work in the best interest of our children. But there is some language in here, particularly when you talk about this board that was appointed by the governor, the mayor, and the president of the Board of Aldermen. It's illegal. It has no authority. It should have no authority. And it nullifies our vote for our elected board
members.
And that's
the other piece of it. You, an elected official, you're telling other elected officials to capitulate for real. And here's the other line that makes me say, use that strong of language, Irene. Another line out of her letter is, now that their takeover is a reality, comma, you know, at least until the litigation is resolved, and then that's a big but. That there isn't any reality when there is legitimate, if you've read the lawsuit and if you understand how they've come to this, you never say now that the takeover is a reality. It's not. Because there's a challenge to it. So when you have elected officials saying things like, everybody is coming equal to our concern about the kids, that's not true. The takeover is a reality, that's not true. And you should capitulate to their authority, that's not true. I question, you know, I appreciate the observation that, well, you know, that this is what it was about. But when you see words like that, we're both attorneys, when you see words like that.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, point is well taken. It's not displaced. Your observation is not displaced. But I just think the overall tenor of her letter was meant to establish a tone of cooperation with respect to the children. The reality of the situation is when you have an appointed board that has had told the superintendent not to provide information to the appointed board that incidentally happened to have hired you, that's very problematic.
And
in addition to that, you don't even have this special board that has absolutely no plan whatsoever.
And again, that comes back to why you would write this letter. Knowing all of those things, Irene, you know that you can go to Desi. Desi said, we don't have a plan. They don't have a plan. So if they don't have a plan, and the St. Louis Board of Education has a plan,
plan. Why is it that you would say it's like you're this architect that's built this incredible house, and somebody has brought in a person who sells potato chips, and you're supposed to now work with this person that sells potato chips, and they're supposed to be able to weigh equally into the decision of how this house is going to be built? That's absurd. You never capitulate to a potato chip seller when you're an architect.
What I would have liked to have seen her do is actually flip the script. The letter should have gone to Sullivan saying, this board has worked to establish a plan to improve education in the city of St. Louis. You don't have a plan.
You haven't been elected.
You haven't been elected. It is in the best interest of our children that you refer to
the experts.
The experts and those who have been working with our community, who have been elected by our community, and who have worked with the superintendent to develop a plan
that would improve education. Beautiful point. And here's what happened. Here's the reality of what happened. She sent this letter to Peter Downs and CC'd a copy of it to Sullivan and those folks.
No, I think it should have went the opposite way.
Of course it should have went the opposite way. If a letter was going to be written, if a letter was going to be sent, it should have been sent to those that don't know what they are doing. Those that have not been elected, those that have no plan, those that are on a learning curve on this issue.
Yeah, I think it should have been reversed.
Yes,
the letter should have gone out to Sullivan, Gaines, and Adams.
And here's the other piece. And I think that there always should be full disclosure. Mm. One of the things that she should have said in her letter is that I've met with Sullivan. You know, she's met with him. You know, and none of us have privy to what that conversation is, but I'm very concerned about the fact that she's met with Sullivan, and then after her meeting with Sullivan, Peter Downs gets a letter instead of the other way around. That's problematic. That is hugely problematic.
I mean, if she has, you're saying that she has.
Yes,
I don't know.
Has.
You said that she has. As I said, the letter to me, it should have been flipped. The letter should have gone to Sullivan.
Yeah, it should have.
Because
it should have contained a whole different thing.
Sullivan and them have no plan.
There you go.
The St. Louis Public Schools, the Board of Education does have a plan. They have been working with the superintendent to put forth a plan. They are the elected officials who the citizens of this city elected to run our schools, and so deference should be given to them and not the reverse.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're on Eye on the Lou.
Hi, Liz.
Yes.
This is something I've never really heard mentioned. You all may have when I didn't hear you one day. As far as moving people out of the city, I sat and watched people move right across from a house that had been in my family for years that had been paid off. We refinanced it when my aunt was dying so we could pay her out. When my mother died, I refinanced it, trying to keep the 100-year-old house up. Three houses were built right in my face to people that had moved from South County and everywhere. They got all kind of tax breaks. You know, and they were called the urban pioneers.
Oh.
And I keep saying, what about the Indians that stayed on the reservation? What about the people that stuck and stayed in the city? We got no tax breaks.
Can I ask you a question?
Nothing.
Can I ask you a question, Arlene?
Sure.
What happened to the Native Americans in our country after the urban pioneers came
well,
through?
Well, maybe that was a wrong thing.
I'm just saying, you were right. You were right, because what happened to the Native Americans is the same thing that happened to you.
Oftentimes what happens, Arlene, I think you're absolutely right, and we have talked about those individuals who stuck it out, fought when no one was interested in coming to our city or developing in the city. What often happens is when that refinancing was going along, you should talk to that alderman and said, you know, I need some tax break.
But, you know, they always tell you, well, you make too much. I mean, and I basically ended up having to just give it up. It was too much trying to be, you know, working self-employed when you don't have a steady income. You know, it's up, it's down. And it just got to be too much of a struggle. And that's another way that people are being run out. When you talk about the people that just get up and leave the houses, you can't do it in light of trying to make it. But then you see people coming in who don't have to pay taxes for 10 or 15 years.
All right.
And you got to pay taxes every year.
Earlier,
I'll lose your house when you don't.
We got to go. Thank you so much, Earlene.
Sure.
Oh, Irene, much.
It's a lot going on.
It's
great deal going on in our city, but
we didn't have a chance to talk about Ronnie White. Maybe we'll catch up on that next week. We have much business to attend. Maybe we'll get Ronnie White on here with us.
Yeah, hopefully. I hated to see him go. He was an excellent, Excellent, Judge.
All right. Irene J. Smith, see you same time, same place next week?
Next week.
All right. We'll be coming in with, of course, Jamala Rogers. We have much to talk about. Good old Jennifer Joyce making the innocent into the guilty. That's her job. She do it well. We'll be back to talk about that. Stay with us.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can we stand?
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal dignity.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. There is a big meeting today involving some of the top security experts in the country. They'll be addressing concerns that Al-Qaeda has regrouped and may already be here in the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff is warning Americans to be diligent but not frightened.
The American public doesn't need to take a specific step at this point. We don't have a particular threat, but it is a reminder that vigilance remains an important tool in our fighting back against terrorists.
Security scare on an American Airlines flight from L.A. to London. It made an emergency landing in New York after a flight attendant thought she had spotted a man who bypassed security on board. The man may have been an American employee. President Bush will hold a news conference in about an hour and a half. Also today, the release of the latest progress report on Iraq. Here's ABC's Ann Compton.
The White House calls this document only a snapshot. In more than half the categories, Iraq's efforts are branded not satisfactory on political and some military reforms. Especially worrying, Iraqi forces are not yet taking over enough of the burden.
The White House has ordered former counsel Harriet Myers not to appear today before the House Judiciary Committee. She was subpoenaed to tell what she knows about the firings of those eight U.S. prosecutors last year. The Judiciary Committee chairman says he could slap Myers with a contempt of Congress citation if she isn't there. A royal tiff over an upcoming documentary on Queen Elizabeth and how it promoted on British television. ABC's Linda Alvin explains.
Because she can. In a rare behind-the-scenes glimpse, Queen Elizabeth is seen and heard delivering a right royal rebuke to the Queen of Celebrity Photography after Annie Leibovitz suggests the Queen remove her crown.
I think it will look better without the crown. Less dressy, because the garter robe is so strong.
Dressy? What do you think this is?
The BBC has since apologized for suggesting the Queen stormed out of the shoot. Linda Alban, ABC News, London.
This is ABC News.
Will you love me when I turn six?
Of course I will love you when you're six.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers six standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received five-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA five-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard five-passenger large cars.
A group of investigators took high-tech equipment to a remote area about 1,800 miles south of Hawaii today. They're trying once again to find out exactly what happened to pilot Amelia Earhart, who disappeared 70 years ago. Government officials and safety officials are meeting today to try and determine if kids would be safer in school buses equipped with seatbelts. Some say the buses may need to be redesigned to strap the kids in. Will she go to jail like her simple life partner? We don't know yet in the Nicole Richie DUI trial, at least not yet.
A key witness for Nicole Richie is out
of the country, a medical expert who her lawyers say will disprove drug tests taken on the night of her arrest. So they asked for another postponement. Court spokesman Alan Parrucchini on what happened in the hearing.
Cases continued August 16th. Ms. Ritchie is ordered to appear for trial.
Ritchie was arrested last December after driving the wrong way on a suburban Los Angeles freeway. She was charged with driving under the influence and faces up to a year in jail if convicted. Dave Alpert, ABC News, Glendale, California.
Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bransmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a 12-year-old boy accused of killing his neighbor will remain in juvenile custody. The prosecutor recommended the boy remain in custody because he is a threat to the public, but the boy's attorney said the move was for his own client's safety. If tried as an adult, the suspect would be the youngest in local history. He is currently charged under the juvenile code. The suspect will go back before a judge in late September. A memorial for 13-year-old Alexis Pertley took place yesterday evening. An Alton man has been arrested for an alleged threat against an Illinois senator. On Tuesday afternoon, Senator Bill Hayne received word at the state capitol that police were searching for a man who was threatening to kill him. Hayne remained in Springfield, and Alton police protected his wife at their home and the staffers in Hayne's Alton office. Illinois State Police will present their case to the Madison County State's Attorney this morning. They will decide whether to charge the suspect with threatening a public official, which is a felony offense. Finally this hour, Mark Bolger is still waiting for a new contract offer from the Rams. Bolger says that if a new contract isn't in place before camp, he may consider a holdout. Bolger had hoped a new deal would be reached shortly after last season. The 30-year-old quarterback is entering the final season of a 4-year, $19.1 million deal. In 2006, Bolger posted career bests in several stats and earned his second Pro Bowl invitation. Bolger could become an unrestricted free agent, but he has said that he wants to remain with St. Louis. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Bransmeyer, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Eastbound 70 from Bermuda through Lucas and Hunt. Look for an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's at Lucas and Hunt, and the exit is still closed at Lucas and Hunt. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley. Look for heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from K through 79. You've got slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic is moving well into the landing, although it is very heavy, so expect delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is stacked all the way back through Monsanto Avenue. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for delays there as well. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue and the 5570 split. Look for slowdowns. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for some slowdowns. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and 367. Look for, and the stall's been cleared. That's on the ramp to 367. Traffic's finally easing by this hour. And westbound Olive at 82nd Street in University City. There's a water main that has a center lane. Only a water main break. Only the center lane is getting by. And that is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies. Chance of showers this afternoon, high in the mid-80s. This evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. A chance of showers there, too. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-60s. Saturday and Sunday, Saturday mostly sunny with a high in the upper 80s, and Sunday mostly sunny with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. Jamal Rogers and Liz Brown, it's Justice for Reggie that's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, More Liz Brown. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back. And we are here in the studio. Today is Thursday. It is 8 o'clock, and it is time for Justice for Reggie. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Very good. We have a lot to talk about today, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
We have breaking news. We have talking about films out here. Tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
We have this morning Rachel Lyons will be one of the guests, and Rachel is the creator and producer of Race to Execution that screened here some months ago, and we'll be screening it again at the St. Louis Museum here, and we weren't able to do that this Monday, but we will schedule a new date and let people know about that on Justice for Reggie. And we also want to talk a little bit about the breaking news around the Larry Griffin investigation that finally has come to a close after almost 2 years. So,
We have an awful lot to talk about.
Most definitely,
an awful lot to talk about this morning. And this documentary is a powerful statement, wouldn't you say? Statement about how the engine, the death penalty engine, works.
Absolutely, and I think one of the brilliant things about the way that Rachel Lyons has put those the two stories together. One of them is a case out of the South, and one of them is a case out of Chicago. And looking at how both of those stories sort of play out. Unfortunately, one of the men who is showcased actually was executed, and in the case of the other one, he was part of the Illinois sort of grouping of folks who were exonerated. And so it is a very compelling piece, and as you look at it, you can't help but see how race is a factor in the death penalty.
Let's talk to the documentary filmmaker, Rachel Lyons, who's joining us from Queens this morning. Rachel, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am great, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers.
Hi, Jamala.
Good morning, Rachel.
And, Rachel, we have a couple of minutes here before our break here. Tell us what drew you to this topic?
Well, I have to say I was really inspired to do this by my sister, Andrea Lyon, who defends the defenseless in Chicago for the last, 20 years, has defended 130 murder Capital One cases, all for the poor, almost all minority cases. And she was working on a case for about 15 years for a guy who was innocent and in Chicago, and she called and said, I think there might be some movement here. Are you interested? And I had sort of left Murder and Mayhem to her and had done, little issue films like The Worldwide Impact of Fundamentalism and the,
which is no small thing either.
And I started working on it, and I was shocked at how people do not want to talk about race in this country. And are
you think but this country is completely resistant to that issue.
Oh, my God. It was the hardest film I ever had to raise the money for. And everybody to this day, I can give you sort of the top 10, what I call the top 10 white boy questions for if they do not want to have to listen to a story about race and the death penalty.
Hold that top 10 list, okay?
Yeah, I'm really interested in the top 10 list.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to documentary filmmaker Rachel Lyon. She's joining us from Queens, New York. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us. Summertime. And the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
I'm Karen Stewart. Join me on Sunday morning at 8 a.m. for Strategies for Building Wealth. This program will explore topics designed to help you better manage your finances, improve your net worth, and understand the basics of investing. So join me as we talk about strategies for building wealth, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on WGNU.
Time to make your money work for you.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? Well, for free information on how to proceed, call this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventor information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other materials of interest to new inventors. Learn how to get this free information just by calling this toll-free number.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
Even if you have an idea for improving an existing product and don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. So call InventHelp right now, toll free.
Call 800-346-9966. That's 1-800-346-9966.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers. We're having a discussion this hour with documentary filmmaker Rachel Lyon. She's joining us from Queens, New York. She is the creator of a documentary, a gripping documentary, Race to Execution. And Rachel, on the way out, you left us with this intriguing top 10 list. Talk to us about this top 10 list.
Well, people would ask, especially the kinds of questions you could kind of tell what was the politics behind the questions when you would hear, well, how much research did you really do? And were you an anti-death penalty film? Which I would always say, no, we're not an anti-death penalty film. In fact, I am white, my co-producer is black, and he is pro-death penalty, and I'm anti-death penalty. So we were on both sides of this issue. But people would make that assumption. Then they would say, they were probably guilty of something. Boy, I love that one.
Isn't that just gut-wrenching? Okay, so kill them. They're guilty of something.
Yeah, right. The other thing that we got a lot of was we were interested if they're innocent. So, in other words, if there was an actual wrong conviction as opposed to perhaps a wrong charge, if it was their brother or sister who had gotten charged with, let's say, murder one instead of involuntary manslaughter. I mean, what happens? You know, they walk into a bar, 5 minutes later, a knife comes out, 5 minutes later, someone is dead. Is it self-defense? Is it murder one? All of those things are up to the prosecutor. And when we started the film, what I didn't know, actually, is, you know, Detective Jones found the body down by the river. What is the single most important question? What color was the victim? The victim is white, then the death is important. The police that get sent down to the site, down to the crime scene, will spend more time on it, look for more suspects, be under more pressure. Media attention will follow. There will be greater pressure to go for a death penalty trial. If the victim is white and the defendant is black, that person has somewhere between, in the milder states, 4 times as great a chance, or like in Texas, 30 times as great a chance of being killed. Mm-hmm. And so the statistics are, it's not little. It's not like a little factor. It's the elephant in the living room.
And you found, as you talked to people, that they didn't want to talk about the elephant in the room. They didn't want to talk about the issue of race and how race determines whether you live or die.
What we also found, which I find, you know, just amazing, is the situation with juries. And this is a side that has not been talked about as in as big a way. We had some breaking, what I call breaking scholarship, about the race and gender of juries. If you have a jury of four or fewer white males, you will not be executed. And if you have five or more, you will. Five or more white males will go toward an execution by a huge difference. And so this is one of the things they found. This was going through real juries, thousands of them, hundreds, thousands of jurors, and finding out what happened when they actually got on.
What's the race map and the gender map of women, white women, and what's the gender race map of black folks?
Well, in general, what we find is that there is a greater reluctance in minority populations to be pro-death penalty to start with, which makes sense. Minority populations have a lot more run-ins with criminal justice system, and so they're a little suspicious, more suspicious of the death penalty. They're not as willing to believe just offhand that the police are proper in their investigation. Don't torture people, don't this, don't that. And anyone who does not believe in the death penalty is off a jury right away for cause. So the first thing that happens is if you don't believe in the death penalty, you can't serve on a jury. The next thing that happens is we have a tremendous range, basically, of how prosecutors can get rid of jurors they don't want to have on the bench. And if they and there's been Supreme Court case after Supreme Court case trying to make sure that they can't get people out of the jury because of race. And every time they do, they come up with other ways of doing it. And it finally happened again in 2005, and there was this case in Texas, Miller L., where the Texas state had, you know, had a written manual. We do not want women, Jews, blacks, Dagos, we do not want them on juries because they'll be compassionate or they will empathize with the defendant. And it's only because it was so extreme, and on paper.
And on paper, because I'm a former criminal defense attorney, and here in the state of Missouri, in the county of Missouri, Buzz Westfall, who was the head prosecutor, instructed all of his prosecutors to strike black people off of the jury panel. That was the policy of that office. It wasn't written down, but it was the policy to make certain that in these cases, you strike black people off the jury.
Right. I'm not surprised, and I'm intrigued that you served in this capacity. I actually went to college at Washington University in St. Louis, so I love St. Louis. It's a great town, and it's also a town that has suffered a lot with the racial divide.
Talk about not wanting to talk about race. This is a town that absolutely, zip it up, do not talk about race in this town.
Yeah, it's amazing. The other thing that I find, and then this whole business of the race card. Is this a card that are we playing cards here with somebody's life? What is going on? I am amazed to hear people. The other thing that happens if you talk to the top 10 sort of white boy list, it is that you get these guys who will say, yeah, I've had problems with race. I've had problems. Affirmative action is the problem. And I'm like, oh, no. And, of course, that's what's been sweeping this, throw out affirmative action and now Brown versus Board of Education by the Supreme Court. This has been going on now in the works for about 25 years, and now it's been happening under Bush's new lovely Supreme Court. And we are in a time where people are like, they've got their forgetteries on. And they have their scatteries.
And we're going to take a break. We're talking to documentary filmmaker, Race to Execution is the name of the film, Rachel Lyon. She is joining us from Queens, New York. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. This is Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Over on the east side, westbound 64 from 159 through 157, there's an accident at Illinois 157. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 70 between Bermuda and Lucas and Hunt. Look for an accident there, a second accident at Lucas and Hunt. Look for stop-and-go traffic. A whole lot of problems there. Try to avoid that if at all possible. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic's finally starting to ease up, especially in the left lanes. Westbound 64 from Bow Avenue and 5570 split. Look for still some slowdowns there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 is backed up from the ramp all the way into Monsanto from the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for a heavy volume all the way across that span from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain 367, look for that stall has been cleared on the ramp of 367. And the eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes through Highway 79, look for heavy volume there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and the weekends. For today, look forward to partly sunny skies, chance of showers this afternoon, highs in the upper 80s. For this evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers, lows in the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees and clouds. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. It's Jamala Rogers and Liz Brown with more Justice for Reggie. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market? It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Previously on the Lone Ranger program...
How dare you create an argument for public health that exempts the casinos? You wouldn't do that. If we had an avian flu epidemic in St. Louis, would you exempt the casinos from those regulations?
Pretty good. No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, so it kind of betrayed the argument on its face.
For the smartest talk on radio, it's the Lone Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call, analyzing the story shaping your world.
Welcome back to Justice for Reggie Thursday. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers, and our guest this hour is documentary filmmaker. She created the film. She made the film Race to Execution, Rachel Lyon. She's joining us from Queens, New York. And, Rachel, welcome back. Kim, let's have a bit of conversation about this film. Give us a synopsis of what this documentary, who this documentary talks about, because we're going through the eyes of two men on death row.
Absolutely. Thank you for this question very much. We follow the story of Robert Tarver, who is in Alabama, and Madison Hobley, who is in Chicago. These two men have many similar but some very different circumstances in their situation. Robert Tarver is arrested for the murder of a white grocer, a very sort of pillar of a community in a fairly poor Alabama town, and he is arrested, tried, and sentenced to death in a matter of 3 months. The jury took 1.5 hours, and I presume about sort of more than most of that time was spent, let's at least look like we are deliberating. The jury took 1.5 hours to decide that he was guilty. And he was given not the death penalty by the jury, but was overridden by the judge. Judge gives him the death penalty on his own, and he languishes in prison for 15 years or so. And just as a real hero of the South, Bryan Stevenson, begins to uncover new evidence, including the prosecutor, former prosecutor, saying, we excluded black jurors on the basis of race, yet the Supreme Court nor anyone else would listen to the case on its merits. This is like a kind of a tough concept to grapple with for those of us who are non-legal eagles.
And think you live in a democracy.
Right, where the truth is what's important, but the conviction's what's important, and how the conviction was given. So what's happened, in fact, Barry Scheck from the Innocence Project says that we have fewer and fewer access now, less and less access to fight after the conviction. We have to win the original cases. We've got to have better defense at the front end. But at any rate, so Robert Tarver goes to Bryan Stevenson, and we hear this story through his aunt, who was really raised as sort of a sister cousin, Ethel Ponder, who is the sweetest woman who's never even gotten a speeding ticket, and how she was slowly drawn in. She didn't want to help Robert, but she slowly but surely felt like she really had to. It was just too unfair. And then there is a reporter who went in thinking, yeah, it looks like he was guilty, and because based on all the reports, and suddenly he finds, as he gets to know Robert, that there's a lot wrong with what happened at this trial. There's no proof that he did this crime. There's a lot of potential that the guy who fingered him may well have been the killer. And so he kind of is on the fence and questioning. And then there's Brian, who's desperately trying to change his, to save his life. So we have that going on in the South. In the North, we have Madison Hobley, who is this young, you know, pretty sweet guy. You'll never meet a sweeter guy. He's a medical technician in New York. He had a wife, and they had a young son, and they had had their normal problems. He had had an affair a few years back. It had been forgiven. They were back together. They had just gotten into a new apartment. And so he wasn't really clear that all the doors were barred and locked from the by the landlord in such a way that you could not get out except through the front door of any apartment, which turned that building into a death trap when one night a fire struck. And it was not a fire that struck. It was definitely arson. So Madison Hobley jumps up. He hears the fire alarm. He figures it's nothing, but he gets up to go see anyway. And he walks out of his apartment to check what's going on, and there is everything is going on in the stairwell, and it's just like a chimney. It sweeps right up into his apartment. He can't get back in. He crawls out, and he starts trying to get people out. He catches a baby. He's out there. If you can imagine them accusing this guy in January in Chicago. Now, you know how cold it is in January in Chicago. Mm-hmm. In his chivvies and a T-shirt and barefoot out there having planned this fire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But at any rate, his family does not make it out, and his little boy and wife are killed, and along with five other people. And because he survived the fire, the police latch onto him as they suspect him, which is okay to suspect. That is, a lot of times death is caused by somebody you know. But he was fingered by a guy who had a long history of arson, both before and eventually after this fire. And
he was fingered by an arsonist.
An arsonist, absolutely.
What's wrong with that picture?
I know. So what had happened at this point in Illinois is that there were now hundreds of cases that had been called into question. There was a unit of police that had been, they had served in Vietnam, but they had come back hardened men, and they served in an area, in a black area, white police, that had routinely tortured people into confessions. The reason that this has not gotten further is because their boss at the time was district attorney, then district attorney Richard Daley. Guy is now mayor. So this is why the city has been fighting for its life against admitting that there was a 20-year-long problem. And essentially, Madison got tortured. He was beaten. He was absolutely tortured into what they called a confession, even though they never produced a written confession. And he was sentenced to death. Now, as it turns out, the man who fingered him has long now been in prison for two other major arsons, one of which people were killed in the neighborhood in the same way. Really, really tragic. And a lot of people that get fingered, and that's the only evidence, is that somebody's saying they did it, that person is very often a person who's involved, or a jailhouse snitch, or someone who has a lot to gain by somebody else going down. This happens all the time, and you have to think, even, you know, how well do you remember? What have you done in the last, 24 hours? Have either of you gone shopping? You know, was the car a blue car? Was it a red car? Was the guy older? Did he have glasses? It's actually, eyewitness accounts are not, surprised to what we all thought during Perry Mason days, they are not reliable.
Well, we've done plenty of shows that talk about how the utter unreliability of eyewitnesses. If that's what you have, you don't have a case.
don't have a case, except if the defendant is poor and black and the defendor, that is the attorney, the provided attorney for the poor, is not got their eye on the ball and is not trained and is not putting time and energy into this. In the case of Robert Tarver, the defendant, the defense attorney, did not even interview anyone in Robert Tarver's family because he didn't like black people. And he was a friend of the defendant, I mean, of the deceased. So was the judge. So were a lot of people on the jury.
So I just want people to resonate that on that for 1 second, Rachel. You're being defended in a case where you could die as a result of the judgment. You're being defended by a friend of the person that you are supposed to have killed. That's your defense attorney.
That's your defense attorney. And you're given less than $1,000 for your defense. Now, think of how much money some of the big people, and I'm not just saying someone like O.J. I'm talking about, you know, people who have
Rachel, I've tried plenty of cases, okay? I've tried plenty and plenty of cases. $1,000 does not cover your copying costs.
Exactly.
Okay, it doesn't cover what you need to just make copies of this stuff, okay? So that's not even, we don't have to go anywhere close to the cost of an O.J. Simpson defense. $1,000 doesn't cover your copying costs.
Right. And that's what you have in Alabama. That's what you have in Alabama. And there's no public defender system. So they go get any defender, whether or not they've done a murder trial. And in both cases, neither of these men had a defense attorney who had done a murder case before. Not at all.
But he had a defense attorney that hated black people, that interviewed no witnesses, that had $1,000 to work with, and was a friend of the victim.
You got it.
We're going to take a break here. We're talking to documentary filmmaker Rachel Lyon. She's joining us from Queens, New York. We're talking about her film, Race to Execution. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. We're talking about Justice for Reggie Thursday. Stay with us.
Know the place to shop for all your appliance needs? Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay, have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work, and it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. At 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
My name is Liz Brown. I am here with Jamala Rogers because this is Justice for Reggie Thursday. I also want to take this time really quickly here to thank one of our sponsors for Justice for Reggie, Church of God in Christ, Bishop Ward. Thank you so much for your support because it helps us do what we need to do with this issue, Justice for Reggie. Our guest this hour, joining us from Queens, New York, documentary filmmaker, Race to Execution is the name of her film, Rachel Lyon. And Jamala, you had a question for Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel, we know that this was part of the Independent Lens series, and I was just wondering what kind of response did you get after the initial showing on public broadcasting systems?
So this was shown on PBS all over
the country. This was PBS all over the country.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a great thing. The Independent Lens is kind of like they call it a film festival in your living room, and there are 26 independent films each year. They've done a lot of issue-oriented films, including many on the death penalty. They did a wonderful film on hip-hop and a wonderful film on Billy Strayhorn. So the number of films they do on African-American issues, cultural and political, are very high, which is really nice. The response was overwhelming. We had hundreds of thousands of viewers, more than usual, over 1.5 million viewers.
Wow.
Saw the film, and a lot because we did a 38-city sweep of screenings and community screenings, which we are continuing to do, and you've done a wonderful screening in St. Louis, and we will come back. I love St. Louis, and do more. We also have some of the greatest scholars around the country working on this film. Charles Ogletree, who heads the Center for Race and Justice at Harvard. Many, many, many great scholars are involved in this.
And we've had Charles on our show, yes.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you know how far out, actually, wonderful he is. That's an old term. I know she says, oh, this woman has some wrinkles in her brow. So we had an overwhelming response, and we are now doing a whole new round of outreach to better arm people who are going into criminal justice, not just law schools, but people who are going to become police, who are going to become involved elsewhere in the criminal justice system, to show that, hey, if you mistreat prisoners, you're going to lose in appeals. If you, you know, so start getting the word out that people are going to be exonerated if you screw up. And we are also focusing on, and the film focuses intensely, on media and its impact on race and death penalty. I want to speak on that just for a second because it's amazing how it impacts both negatively for black defendants in entertainment as well as in nonfiction. Here we go. In entertainment, we call it the CSI effect. People watch TV, let's say the, you know, white boys in the suburbs, they watch TV and they see on CSI and Law and Order and all these other shows that there are black prosecutors, there are integrated juries, the judge is a black woman. They see an integrated world of justice system that does not exist on the ground.
Hmm.
So they walk in thinking, oh, we don't have actually a problem of race in here because I see it on TV every week. The police absolutely investigate every possibility, et cetera, et cetera. On the other side, even though we've had a 30% drop in crime in the last 15 years, we have had a 100% increase on reporting on violent crime on all of the news and 24-hour news and cable and also on all these, you know, reality shows, Cops, et cetera, et cetera. So what happens is the same person who is thinking that we've got a fair justice system is at home hearing you could be hurt next by those darn dark people.
But also, aren't they also hearing on this, when, okay, you can be harmed next by people of color, that's clear, but isn't the message also that prosecutors never lie unless they have a really good reason, and then that's okay? They also hear that judges are going to be fair for the most part. They are also hearing that that there's all of this investigation that goes on both sides. So they're hearing all, they are being prepped to come into a criminal justice system that doesn't exist.
Correct. And so when they walk in and they look at a dark defendant surrounded by white people, they think that person is scary, bad, not good, and they think he wouldn't be here if he wasn't guilty.
There you go.
He just wouldn't be here if he wasn't guilty. So that combined with, not only do we see the prosecutors getting rid of people of color, but we also have this, what we call the high school to prison system in our country. We have so many people who are now of color who are now in and out of the criminal justice system who cannot vote or serve on a jury.
And one of the I want to hop back to media just one more way here. Don't we also have, as a result of the way that the media operates and tells the story of this, we also have this concept that that when somebody is charged with something, that they're charged and that charge would not have been charged if that person in fact wasn't guilty. And then secondly, we also have, think about it, how many television shows have we had in the last 30 years that have shown criminal defense lawyers and shown them in a positive light that comes on every single week? Not since Hill Street Blues, for real, prosecutor television shows, police-driven television shows about crime, but a real show about criminal defense attorneys coming against crooked cops, coming against crooked judges, coming against a crooked system, not having any money, and innocent people being in jail. How many of those shows are out there, Rachel?
None. This is a prosecution-friendly, at best,
there you go,
country now. And the other thing that people don't know and don't see, which is such a very serious problem, is that judges who used to be considered neutral are now elected on whether or not they're tough on crime, and they are considered to be part of the team of police and prosecution.
And they're supposed to be independent and neutral.
And they are not. So, again, you've got the judges now sort of not blind justice, but rather one or two big eyes open, you know, from the prosecutorial point of view.
I need to grab somebody that's on the line here for real quickly. Just grab one person here. Joe, you have a quick comment, please?
Yes. She mentioned Illinois. I remember the former governor commuted all the death sentences in there, and the prosecuting attorneys of the state demonized the governor and tried to bring up where he took bribes and stuff, you know, on political campaigns. And he said they're doing this because they want to advance their political career. And that's all. They weren't worried about the whether the people were innocent or not. And some of the people, some of the people were actually, there was a professor was defendant checking on these, and some of these people who had the death penalty were actually found out to be completely innocent. Thank you
for that comment, Rachel.
He is so correct, Governor Ryan. If this is a person who in any way did anything wrong, this is a guy who drives a little Toyota and lives in a small house in Kankakee. What does he have in his pocket, I ask you? In fact, how could you be more up against the wall than to have charges pending against you and to go ahead and commute 167 death row cases? And commute means, by the way, spending life in prison
without parole.
This is not a picnic.
Yeah.
This is not let them go.
That's right.
And then to free the four innocents, including Madison Hobley. So it was a huge change, but Governor Ryan knew that if he didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen. He had had a three-year investigation. And guess what's going on in Illinois? There are 9 new death row inmates, and 8 of them are minorities.
There you go. Rachel, where can people see your film, A Race to Execution?
You can go online to www.racetoexecution.com. You can order the film. You can email us and ask for a screening. And ask your local public television station to play it again, because we really want to continue to get the word out. We will be showing again probably next year during, sadly, in my opinion, during Black History Month, because it means that they sort of quarantine films that are on black issues to that month.
Right.
But we're happy to know that the film is gaining that kind of importance.
Right.
So you
Go ahead.
So, and the other place is pbs.org/independent lens. If you get on to pbs.org and look for Independent Lens, you will find Race to Execution, how to see it, and how to ask for it.
Rachel Lyon, documentary filmmaker. Race to Execution is the film. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on Justice for Reggie.
And thanks for your work, too.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for your work. Jamala.
Wow.
Okay, next week we're going to talk about this breaking story.
The breaking story with the Larry Griffin case, absolutely.
And Jennifer Joyce, once again, shows that she can make guilt out of innocence.
It's sad, but I think it points to some of the issues that we just talked about in terms of what you're up against when you are faced with a capital murder case.
Absolutely.
And you are black.
There you go. Jamala, thank you so much. Same time, same place next week?
Absolutely.
I'll be back in the next hour. You don't want to miss this story. Stay with us.
Latino, that we are brothers and sisters.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. President Bush is holding a news conference shortly. He will talk with reporters on the same day that a new assessment on progress in Iraq has come out. Did the Iraqis meet those benchmarks the U.S. laid out when it agreed to the troop surge? In some cases, yes, but in many cases, no, says ABC's Martha Raddatz.
In the security category, progress on only 3 of the 8 benchmarks were marked satisfactory. Providing Iraqi brigades for the surge, setting up joint security stations with the Americans, and reducing the level of sectarian violence. But in other categories that are key to success in Iraq, the progress has not been good.
The report includes 8 satisfactory grades and 8 not satisfactory grades. Is there a threat against the U.S. or not?
We don't have any credible information about any kind of specific attack here in the homeland in the near term or imminently.
Still, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says top security officials are meeting in Washington today. Some of those same experts say al-Qaeda has regrouped and may already be in the United States. An American Airlines flight bound from L.A. to London was diverted to New York today because of a security scare. ABC's Jim Hickey explains.
The flight was diverted when a flight attendant noticed a passenger who had been seen earlier riding an employee shuttle bus at the Los Angeles airport. It just didn't add up. Turns out the passenger was legitimate with a bona fide ticket. But ABC News aviation consultant John Nance points out the incident highlights a security weakness.
We don't have a national standard ID with a smart chip of some sort in there.
And until we do,
we're going to have breaches.
Tim Hickey, ABC News.
New report out says if they had their wish, moms with kids under age 18 wouldn't work full-time or stay at home full-time. The Pew Research Group says 60% of mothers would prefer to work part-time. 72% of dads with kids the same age say working full-time is just fine with them. Markets this hour, Dow's up 110, NASDAQ up 17. This is ABC News.
Mom, will you love me when I turn 6?
Of course I will love you when you're 6.
Will you love me when I'm 10?
Of course I will love you when you're 10.
They'll always be your baby, which is why we've introduced the sedan rated the safest full-size car in America, the all-new 2008 Ford Taurus.
When I'm 15?
And while you can't engineer a mother's love, you can engineer safety. Taurus offers 6 standard airbags and features patented space architecture, which directs crash energy away from you. Plus, Taurus received 5-star crash test safety ratings for front and side impacts and is an IIHS top safety pick.
Will you love me when I'm as old as you?
I will love you forever.
The all-new Ford Taurus. Ford. Bold moves. Visit your Ford dealer or go to FordVehicles.com.
Based on NHTSA 5-star frontal and side crash test rating and IIHS top safety pick with optional electronic stability control. Class is standard 5-passenger large cars.
Wildfire in California's Inyo National Forest is being mopped up. Firefighters say higher humidity and quieter winds really helped them put this one out. More bad news for retailers. Sales results for last month are out. They show disappointments in many areas. Seems people were discouraged by the weak home market and high gas prices. Scooters in South Beach, they're not just for tourists anymore. ABC's Donna Rapato says they're so cheap to fill with gas, regular Joes are getting them as well.
New motor scooters cost under $2,000, come in various colors and styles, and fill up with just about $2. And you don't need a special test for a motor scooter here in Florida, where Highway Patrol Lieutenant Pat Santangelo says skill and safety is even more vital.
People need to realize a scooter is a very vulnerable form of transportation. You have to drive very, very defensively.
He says it takes great skill to maneuver scooters around traffic in a city like Miami. Highly advised, take a class and wear helmets and protective eyewear, even if they aren't required. Donna Rapato, ABC News, Miami.
I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Thursday, a former teacher is going to jail for child molestation. 31-year-old Jason Devlin of Montgomery City was sentenced to 1 year in the county jail yesterday. He was found guilty of the misdemeanor charge in May, but was found not guilty of statutory rape and statutory sodomy. Authorities say the victim was 14 when the incident happened in 2004. Devlin taught social studies and coached cross country at Montgomery County R2 High School in eastern Missouri. A 15-year-old Hillsdale girl is dead after being shot on Monday afternoon. The girl was in a car with a man when two people came up to the vehicle and fired at them. Police believe the man was the intended target. The girl, identified as Alexandria Finch, died on Tuesday. The man in the car was hurt but is expected to recover. Police have no suspects in custody. Finally this hour, Ernie Hayes isn't retiring anytime soon. The Busch Stadium organist has had the job since 1971. The 72-year-old Hayes is working fewer games per year, but the Cardinals say it's because they want to get a replacement ready for when he does retire. Hayes had a heart valve replaced last year, but was in his seat for opening day at the new ballpark. Only 17 of the 30 major league teams still have an organist instead of using pre-recorded music. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier, bringing you the news that matters most to you.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and your weather. Westbound 64 over on the east side between Illinois 159 and 157. Look for stop and go traffic due to an accident. The left lane's blocked. It's at Illinois 157. Expect delays. Eastbound 70 from Bermuda in the Lucas and Hunt. Look for stop and go traffic. There's a second accident at Lucas and Hunt, so look for slowdowns and just use caution. Westbound Olive at 82nd Street in University City. There's a water main break. Only the left center lane is getting by at this hour. Westbound 40 between Hanley and Brentwood. Look for road construction having left lane closed. Northbound 270 at Gravois and Doherty Ferry. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic's finally easing up this hour. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You're still heavy on that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into the landing. Look for some slowdowns still as we speak. Westbound 270. From Bell Fountain into 367, that stall has now been cleared at the ramp to 367. There are a number of ongoing road construction projects, so just use caution, give yourself a break, and slow down. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for this weekend. For today, partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-80s, and a chance for afternoon showers. For this evening, partly cloudy once again, a chance for showers with a low in the mid-60s. Friday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-80s. Friday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-60s. Saturday and Sunday, mostly sunny. Saturday with a high in the upper 80s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 90. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 74 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 76, both under mostly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. More Wake Up Call on the way. It's Riveting Radio. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU, your station for the issues that matter most to you.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Feel me, brother. Stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. Today is a day that we've been having a rather interesting discussion, continuation of discussion. The common thread weaving through the three discussions that we've had this morning, the common thread is race, how race impacts on the criminal justice system, how race impacts on decisions made by the criminal justice system, how race impacts on the decisions and the actions that are taken in this country, how the issue of race, I'm talking about white versus brown, white versus black, white versus yellow, white versus red, we're talking about the issue of race. In the last hour, we talked about the race to execution, death penalty, black men on, innocent black men on death row. We're now going to move our discussion to Louisiana, Jenna, Louisiana.
We're going to talk about the conviction of a young man of African descent, the conviction by an all-white jury. And I want to start with a mother that is involved in this case because she can't stay with us long. She's joining us from Jenna, Louisiana. Tina Jones. Tina, good morning. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very good. Tina, I know that you can't. It's wonderful that you're able to join us for the few minutes that you can. Please tell us about your child, and please tell us about what happened in Jenna, Louisiana.
My son is Brian Purvis, and it was just a series of events that happened, starting with the nooses hanging in the tree, which led up to a school fight, and which my son was named in the fight, but actually had nothing to do with it. And the day the kids were arrested, he wasn't arrested that day, but was arrested the next day, and charged with attempted second-degree murder and conspiracy to commit
murder. Attempted murder.
Yes, ma'am.
And, Tina, let's go back a little bit to what happened at this school and talk about what Jenna looks like. Jenna's a small town, about 3,000 people?
Yes, ma'am.
And about, 300-and-something black folks?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so what happened at this school, this incident that happened at the school? Talk to us about that.
Basically, it started with one black student. He asked the principal if it was okay if they sat under a tree, which normally white kids normally sit there.
So historically, this tree was a tree where only white kids could sit.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and, you know, he asked the principal if they could sit there, and he responded to him, telling them, yeah, it was okay for him to sit there. So, you know, they sat under the tree, and the next morning when they returned to school, they had three nooses hanging from the tree.
Three nooses were hanging from the tree.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, did your son come home and tell you about that?
He didn't actually tell me that. I heard it from parents and, you know, different kids and stuff when I returned to work the next morning. He didn't tell me.
So what happened after the kids found the nooses and what happened after the parents found out about the nooses?
The kids and parents all became very upset about it. You know, we contacted the school board and different, you know, people and, you know, news media or whatever to, you know, put out our concerns about it. But the three kids involved were only suspended for 3 days and sent back to school.
So there was no question about that there were nooses up there, one, and there was no question about that students had put them up, and there was no question that there were three white students who did it.
Yes, ma'am.
And what kind of punishment did they get for that?
3 days suspension.
Now, what did the school respond to? What did the administrators respond to this? What did they say about nooses being hung in the tree?
That it was just a prank. It wasn't that much to it. It, you know, they just made light of it. You know, it was blowing it out of proportion, basically, you know.
So what happened after that? What happened after the kids were given the people that hung the nooses in the trees were suspended? Did things settle down at the school?
No, ma'am. It only got worse. The DA called a meeting in the gym and basically threatened the kids.
Wait a minute. The prosecuting attorney called a meeting in the school?
Yes, yes.
And what did he say? When you say that he basically...
He told them that it needed to stop and that he would make their lives go away with the stroke of a pen, you know, just different things. You know, he was threatening the kids with if they didn't calm down.
And when the kids weren't calmed down, what kind of things were happening at the school?
They were fussing, bickering, just, you know, stuff like that, calling names or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
What is the racial makeup of this school?
I'm not sure exactly how many blacks go to that school.
But it's kind of like a handful of blacks?
Yes, and mostly white, yes. Maybe 100 or so blacks. I'm not really sure on that.
Mm-hmm. But overwhelmingly white kids go to that school.
Yes, ma'am.
So the DA came to the school. When he made the statement that he can make people's lives disappear with the stroke of a pen, did you get a sense of which students he was talking to when he made those threats?
The black kids. The black kids were making a big deal about the nooses being hung in the tree.
So he came to the school, made the threat, directed it towards the black kids, a handful of black kids. Then what happened, Tina?
After that, then the main building of the school burned down, and then they were out for holidays. And then returning back to school, the victim, Justin Barker, he was making comments and saying different things.
Well, what was he saying to
you? Using the N-word and then saying things pertaining to a fight that had happened prior, you know, to them returning back to school.
Well, what was he saying? Do you remember?
I can't quote it just right, but okay. I know he was saying, calling the kids niggers and this and that and another, you know.
And then what happened?
They had went to lunch or whatever, and that when lunch was over and they were coming out, that's when the school, they had, you know, a couple kids had a fight or whatever with Justin, and that's when all these kids were charged with attempted murder.
And in terms of the witness, your child is sitting here charged with attempted murder after what can best be described a fight between, these are high school kids?
Yes.
A fight between high school kids. There was no weapon that was used. Is that correct?
That's right.
And there's nobody out there that is saying that this was planned to go get this kid, Justin. Nothing like that.
No.
He called children of African descent niggers, and a fight ensued.
Yes.
So I guess what do you feel as a parent sitting here with your baby looking at a murder charge, an attempted murder charge?
I don't feel that the DA is being fair. I don't think they should have been involved at all in the school fight because normally when you have a school fight, you get 3 days suspension, in school suspension, or expelled. It's pertaining to the nature of the fight, but I don't think the police should have been involved in it at all.
That's the question, isn't it? Why would you bring the police into this when every fight in America, just
right.
in a school, absent some kind of horrific, gun shooting or something like that,
right.
it's internal. Who
That's
made the
right.
decision, Ms. Jones, to call the police? Do you?
I guess the school principal or whoever, I'm not sure exactly who made the call, but it had to be, you know, within the school, you know, the Gina High School. I don't know.
And let me bring in Dr. Alan Bean, the executive director of Friends for Justice. He's joining us from north of Amarillo, Texas. Dr. Bean, good morning. Dr. Bean?
Hello.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Bean.
Good morning.
And thank you for joining us this morning to talk about this issue. And I want to continue this conversation a little bit more with Ms. Jones because she has to leave us here just in a moment. Could you talk to us, Ms. Jones, about where your son is on this issue? Is he at home? Is he locked up? And when is his next court date?
Brian is actually in Dallas, Texas with my brother, being that he has restraining orders on him and with being charged, I felt in my heart that it was best if I just took him out of this town. So he's living in Dallas with my brother, where he will be attending his last year of school there. He actually stayed in jail 2 nights and three days, and we bonded him out on a $70,000 bond.
$70,000?
Yes.
They set a $70,000 bond on your child?
Yes.
So what happens next, Ms. Jones?
Well, he had a arraignment date January 8th, but him and another student, Corwin Jones, they had obtained the same lawyer. So the judge said he wasn't having that. They couldn't have the same lawyer. So we had to go and obtain another lawyer. So after obtaining another lawyer, we still haven't had an arraignment date or anything. Other than being charged, they haven't arraigned him or given him a court date.
Now, the child that was convicted, Michael Bell, The prosecutors dropped the charges of a second-degree murder, attempted murder. Do you have any indication that the prosecutors are going to be dropping the charges on your child?
No, sir. That was a surprise. That happened during court when they dropped that on Michael.
Mm-hmm.
But as to this day, we don't have any evidence that the charges have been dropped.
And the attorney that represented Michael, is that the same attorney that you had hired? Blaine?
No, sir.
Okay.
We had a Derek Carson that was representing Brian and Corwin at the time when they were supposed to have been arraigned.
Did you attend the trial of Michael Bell, Ms. Jones?
I did. I wasn't there every day, but, I mean, I was there a couple of days, yeah.
And as a final conversation with us, what did you see when you attended this jury? I mean, this trial.
It was an all-white jury. It was five ladies, older ladies, you know, that probably went to school when there was just a black school and a white school, you know, because they were just that old. And it was a white guy, you know, which made the sixth juror. And those were the ones that found him guilty.
And I'm reading conflicting stories here about the job that Blaine Williams did in his defense of Michael Bell, criticisms of his job. Did you take any issue with how the defense defended Michael Bell?
I don't think he did his job. He didn't call any witnesses. He didn't put Michael on the stand. You know, he didn't even try to hear Michael's side of the story, you know. And just from my opinion alone, maybe he agreed with the DA or the juror or the students that was testifying. I don't know, but he didn't try to help that kid at all. And, you know, with him being a black man and, you know, coming from where we've been and a lot of our relatives and stuff have come through, seemed like he would have tried to help the kid, you know.
And how are things at this school now?
Well, it's closed for the summer, and, you know, really, I don't know, you know, there's really nothing to say about the school right now, you know.
Did they ever find out who burned the building?
No, ma'am. I think they're gonna have to tear that part of the school down and rebuild.
Do you find it interesting, Ms. Jones, that there hasn't been any resolution on who burned the building down?
Very, very.
What does it make you think that they rounded up all of these black kids for a school fight, but they haven't been able to find anybody with this burning of the building? What does that make you think?
I feel like they're trying to punish our kids for it. You know, they don't know who done it, and, you know, they're trying to punish us for it, you know.
I want to thank you very much, Tina Jones, for joining us from Jenna, Louisiana. And we'd like to talk to you after things get closer and they try to make a decision about your son's trial. Would you join us back?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Tina Jones, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you.
And I want you to jump in here, Dr. Allenbean, as we listen to this story about what's happening in Jenna. What comes to your mind about how justice is pursued in this country?
Okay. Well, that's the right question. How justice is pursued in Jenna, Louisiana, but what this story tells us about the way the criminal justice system works. And I think you start to realize that district attorneys have broad latitude in who they charge and what charges they bring. And the way they do their jobs often tells you a whole lot about the way they see the world. In this case, over and over again, you have conflict between black students and white students. And repeatedly, the superintendent of the schools and the district attorney sided on the side of the white students, the wealthier students, the more socially prominent students, and really came down hard, brutally hard, on the black students.
And didn't they also, as part of that response, was what you're saying is a problem is not a problem. Blow that off. It's no big deal for people of African descent to see some nooses hanging from a tree. It's a prank.
Right. They have bent over backwards to characterize this as a harmless prank that had nothing to do with race. And how anyone who has grown up in the South can look at a noose hanging from a tree, let alone three of them, and not conclude that this is a terroristic threat and a hate crime, I have no idea.
And if I could just interject for 1 second, let's just say that there weren't any nooses in the tree. Let's just say that for sake of argument. We have a tree where only white kids are allowed to sit on under, and a black kid had to go to the principal to ask if it's okay to sit under the tree where only white kids sit.
Right.
So we have a race issue here.
Yeah, it's very significant that the kid had to ask permission.
And that there's a tree in the year 2007 where only white kids are allowed to sit under.
Yeah. Now, of course, that was an informal rule. It wasn't posted.
Absolutely.
It wasn't part of the manual of the school or anything like that. But everybody understood.
And neither were sundown rules either.
They
weren't on the books either. But everybody knew what the rule and the laws were.
Right. And the way they knew that is that whenever anybody stepped over the line, they got lynched.
There you go. There you go.
Or beaten within an inch of their life, or some other violent act. And this is what has happened. This is how. Historically, the tree and the white side of the school square in the middle of the schoolyard has been monitored. Any black kid that sort of strayed over there would be confronted casually at first, and if they continued to push, there would be pushing and shoving, and they would retreat, and that's the way it would go. The school is about 85% white and 15% black,
and we're going to
much more diversity beyond that.
And we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more of our discussion with the Executive Director of Friends for Justice, Dr. Alan Bean. My name is Liz Brown. We're talking about an astonishing story out of Agena, Louisiana. You don't want to miss this. Stay with us. Summertime, and the living is easy, right? Not if you don't get your family reunion t-shirts done on time. Here's a tip. Call Robert Guy and Associates, 421-3200. They specialize in family reunion t-shirts and softball team t-shirts. In fact, Robert Guy and Associates will put together fabulous t-shirts for all occasions. Here's the address. 2006 Salisbury. The number is 421-3200. Robert Guy and Associates, your t-shirt specialist. And check this out. If you mention you heard this on the Liz Brown Show, you'll get 10% off. It doesn't get any better. 421-3200, Robert Guy and Associates.
Time Life presents the complete 10 CD Classic Soul Ballads Collection. 144 sensual ballads. Luther Vandross, Al Green, Barry White, Aretha Franklin.
Just to be close to you.
And now, for the first time ever, you can check out the entire 10 CD collection for 30 days for just $9.95. But wait. When you order with your credit card, you'll get free shipping and handling. That's a savings of nearly $13. So order with your credit card, and for just $9.95, you can enjoy all 10 CDs of classic soul ballads in your home. And we'll ship it to you free. If it's not the best collection you've ever heard, send it back and owe nothing more.
Call 1-800-313-6969. That's 1-800-313-6969. 1-800-313-6969.
For up-to-the-minute traffic updates, tune in to AM 920 WGNU during morning and afternoon drive times, and we'll tell you where to go. From your friends at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Previously on this Lone Ranger program,
I will tell you the advice that a wise woman once gave to me for women looking for a good man. First, you find a dependable, hardworking man who's helpful around the house. Second, you find a loving man who will spoil you and take care of you and never lie to you. And third, you find a thoughtful man who can make you laugh. And most important of all, you make sure these three men never meet each other.
Oh, that's great.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
People, have you heard about Golden Grocer Natural Market?
It's locally owned and operated for over 30 years and serving and meeting your health needs by ensuring the best quality and selection in vitamin supplements and organic groceries. Golden Grocer Natural Market has the largest loose herb selection around. You can also get your grains and natural beauty items as well. Their staff is friendly, knowledgeable, and committed to helping you on your journey to improved and enhanced health. Golden Grocer believes that the healthiest goal is achieving balance in every area of your life. So, live your life like it's golden, and let Golden Grocer help you along the way. Golden Grocer, Natural Market, 335 North Euclid, right there in the Central West End. Open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 12 to 5. Golden Grocer, 367-0405. That's 367-0405.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Dr. Alan Bean, Executive Director of Friends for Justice, and he's joining us from north of Amarillo, Texas. We're talking about a story coming out of Jenna, Louisiana, about a child of African descent who was found guilty by an all-white jury of attacking a white student in an incident that involved nooses hanging from trees and black versus white. Dr. Bean, when you take a look at the jury verdict in this, you heard the mother of one of the accused talking about the composition of the jury being all white and older women that probably looked like they had been in gin at the time when there was a black school and a white school and neither the two of them should meet. What comes to mind in terms of why the how much does that weigh in on the decision that came out of the decision of guilt?
Well, I think it was, studies have been shown on, been done on jury composition, and it has been found that the inclusion of even one African-American on a jury that is predominantly white can have a tremendous difference, that white people tend to deliberate longer, they tend to be more thoughtful, they tend to be more sympathetic towards a black defendant when there is another person of color on the jury. And when you have six white people, you have a fundamentally unfair system. Now, I think it needs to be pointed out that in a town like Jena, where they use the voting lists and other measures of that sort to come up with a jury pool, most of the folks who are going to end up being called for jury duty are going to be white. That's just the way it is. And so it is not necessarily a sign of racist intent that you ended up with an all-white jury. I have been told by black lawyers that this is the way it tends to be. And if you have a 12-person jury, this is only a 6-person jury.
That's correct.
It tends to be 10 whites and 2 blacks. Unfortunately, in Louisiana, it only takes 10 votes for conviction to carry the day. And so that's, you get a lot of 10-2 votes. And so I think at the national level, this issue needs to be raised. Are you having a fair jury of your peers when you are African American and there's no one of your heritage on the jury? I mean, can these people understand where you're coming from? Can they sympathize with you? Can they identify with you as a human being?
And even if we remove people from the requirement of seeing a fellow human being as a human being, are these people capable of questioning the authority of a white police officer? Are they capable of seeing the possibility that evidence or an argument that is brought to them from a man that looks like their father is to be questioned?
Right. And I think there's a lot of evidence that African Americans, by and large, of course there are exceptions, but by and large, tend to question authority a lot more. They tend to be much more suspicious of the decision to go to war than the average white citizen. tend to be much more questioning of the uncorroborated word of a police officer than a white person would be. They tend to be more suspicious of the criminal justice system. And I think with good reason. And I think the reason they tend to be more suspicious is because they've got closer contact with these realities, and they have learned to ask serious questions.
And there's also the historical component of people of African descent are well aware of the history of the so-called justice system with people from their community. It has not,
right.
It's not been a system of justice.
That's right.
So when we look at this case coming out of Gina in Louisiana, Dr. Beam, when the mother of one of the children made the comment that that this was a story where the young white guy was not. There was no weapon involved with it. There was a fight, and that this was a fight that was taken to the criminal justice system instead of kept in the school, where fights normally are kept within the realm of the school. What does that tell you about what has happened here?
Well, part of it's just a quirk of Louisiana law. I found out that district attorneys frequently have the role of representing the school board, the local, you know, school district, in legal matters. And so Reed Walters, the district attorney, was kind of wearing two hats in this situation, which is, I think, a clear conflict of interest. He could not possibly be a fair referee between, you know, the various parties in this story, because he was committed to one side. You know, he was sort of a representative of the power structure within the school system. So he was kind of indebted to do whatever they said as their lawyer, while he was also being the district attorney. So there was a clear conflict involved in the very way that whole system is set up. But there's no doubt that Reed Walters, the district attorney, saw himself as an extension of the prominent group in that community, which are all white, the more prosperous people. And he did their bidding, I think, instinctively, because he basically looks at the world the way they did, and can be depended upon to do so in the future.
Well, what do you make of the mother talking about how this same prosecutor, prior to this essentially a fight between black students and a white student, coming in and basically threatening the black kids?
Yeah. Well, I think that Reed Walters created a situation that was bound to end tragically. The fact of the matter was that the same students who are now being charged with second-degree attempted murder and conspiracy,
madness,
were the boys who were the instigators, who were the leaders in this impromptu protest. What happened was that once the three boys who had hung the nooses in the tree, the three white boys, were given 3 days of in-school suspension. I mean, they hardly missed a beat. This so enraged the black community that some of these male athletes, who were kind of school leaders in many respects, very charismatic individuals, decided to step forward and say, let's sit under that tree, let's sort of occupy the tree. So it was kind of an old-fashioned sit-in. And, of course, this was very threatening to a lot of the white students. And so the response was to bring in the district attorney and threaten these kids.
Wait a minute, Dr. Bean. I've got to just take a deep breath here and resonate on what you've just said.
Mm-hmm.
The response from the prosecutor was not a response after fights had broken out. It was a response after a sit-in was engaged in by black students under this whites-only tree?
That's right. They sort of occupied the tree and said, this is our tree. From henceforth, we're going to sit under this tree whenever we feel like it.
Now, they didn't leave class to do this.
No, it was during the lunch hour.
So during the lunch hour, they sat under the whites-only tree, and the response was to bring in the prosecutor who threatened these kids for doing that.
Right, and you've got to picture a gymnasium in which there are two sides, and all the black kids have been sitting on one side. So it's very important to see the district attorney looking at these black kids with the black male athletes, in particular, and waving his pen at them and threatening them that he's going to take away their lives if they continue to protest and create trouble at school.
So let's
resonate. The school was under virtual lockdown for a day or two after that that event. I mean, that is how, you know, it was just a circling of the wagons. There was absolutely
it's madness. No validation
of the protest whatsoever.
And let me, again, I just want to resonate on something that you've said, Dr. Bean. The prosecutor, and I'm a former criminal defense attorney, so I appreciate the authority and the options that lie at the fingertip of a prosecutor. But the prosecutor was looking at children, threatening them with taking away their future, their lives, not for any crime that they had committed, but because they sat under a tree during a lunch hour.
That's right. And they continued and insisted that this was an injustice, that they were going to protest. And so it was really the right of protest that was at issue here. And he was saying, you have no right of protest.
And you're going to go to jail for life if you continue to protest.
But yeah, that was the thinly veiled threat that was being made. I can take away your life.
And by the way,
that is not hearsay that he made that statement. He has admitted to it under oath.
So, again, I want to underscore that because we have the man who has the ability to bring charges, threaten children with taking away their lives. Not a single rock had been thrown. Not a single fist had been implanted on anybody's body. No crimes had taken place, but they were threatened with their lives ending as a result of taking away their lives as a result of sitting under a tree during a lunch hour.
Right. And the only other alternative would have been for the district attorney, or preferably a school official, to get up and say, you know, we have had a hate crime on our campus.
Yes.
And I want to tell everybody that that is completely unacceptable, that is abominable, and we will not tolerate this kind of hateful behavior on the part of any of our students. And that is why we have suspended these students for the rest of the school year. You know, that kind of a statement, I think, would have completely defused the situation.
Well, it would have been the appropriate legal response to it, because here we have threats going for people sitting under a tree and no threats made to the people that actually committed a hate crime.
That's right. That's why I say that the district attorney, by making that threat, by deciding to side with the white students as opposed to over against the black students, created an impossible situation in which the kids were left to resolve the issue on their own without any kind of adult supervision or input. There was no referee in this thing, and when there's no referee, the fight turns ugly. You know, there was bound to be black versus white violence somewhere down the line. I mean, the only question was when. And eventually, you know, when this happened, I think the district attorney was just waiting to side with the white students and to prosecute the black students to the full extent of the law.
Or waiting or baiting.
That's right.
And we're going to
set up.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Dr. Alan Bean, Executive Director of Friends for Justice, joining us from north of Amarillo, Texas. We're talking about an extraordinary story coming out of Louisiana, the town of Jenna. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. I'd like to introduce to you one of my customers, Joe Scoggins. Mr. Scoggins, how long ago did we work on your property?
It was approximately 8 to 9 years ago, Mr. Persons.
Okay. Have you had any problems with your roof since that time?
Well, actually, about 3 weeks ago, I called you, and there was some water damage that was caused as a result of the storm last fall.
Okay.
And you were out the following day to do the repair work, And it was done in such a professional way that I would recommend you to any and everyone.
So how much did we charge you?
It was free, and it was done within a matter of 3 hours.
All right.
So I called you one day, and you were out the very next day, you and your son and his assistant, and you went up on the roof, and you accomplished the task within a matter of 3 hours.
This is Phil Person of Person Roofing. Our service starts when we complete your roof. Our number is 361-7127. You can call us day or night. 361-7127.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation this hour with Dr. Alan Bean. He is the Executive Director of Friends for Justice. He's joining us from north of Amarillo, Texas. We're talking about a story coming out of Gina, Louisiana, where we have an issue of black versus white, nooses hanging in trees, and convicted young people. Dr. Bean, I'd like to talk about the conviction of Michael Bell. We've talked briefly about the composition of the six-person jury that convicted this young man. What else do we know about this trial?
Well, I think the first thing that is important to understand about the trial is that although the charges were dropped from second-degree attempted murder, which in Michael's case would have had a potential maximum sentence of 100 years without parole, he now faces a maximum of 22 years. And the way they were able to get the charge of aggravated assault was to argue that the district attorney argued that his tennis shoes were a weapon. Now, that was a bit of a stretch. The idea was that Michael had been the one who threw the first punch. There were virtually no witnesses. I think there was one witness who happened to have been one of the boys who hung the nooses earlier in the year. Who testified that he saw Michael stomping the kid after he was hit.
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
The tennis shoe as a weapon was not a tennis shoe in his hand, but a tennis shoe on his foot?
That's right. And apparently there's precedent in Louisiana law for making that argument.
Jesus, God.
Which, you know, just was a jaw-dropper for everybody in the courtroom. But the legal system, as you know, as an attorney, sometimes accepts certain arguments as legitimate that to the average layperson would just sort of go, what?
And also we have in Louisiana, we have the Napoleonic Code, which is different than the black letter law that the rest of the country runs on.
That's right.
So go ahead.
Yeah, well, the other point I was going to make was that the defense attorney for Michael, as Tina Jones indicated, put up absolutely no fight. In professional wrestling, there's a kind of wrestler called a jobber.
who goes around from town to town getting beat up by the star. You know, and that's his job, to throw the fight and to make the star look good. And he gets $1,000 a throw to do that. Well, you know, I think there's a certain species of defense attorney who basically makes a living doing precisely that. They see themselves as being a conduit between the district attorney and the defendant. And their job is to say, okay, the district attorney is offering you this kind of a deal. It's the best thing you're going to see. Take it. And then they take their money and move on to the next case. And that's the kind of attorney that Michael got. But he insisted on taking the thing to trial. But you really got the impression that Blaine Williams, although he is African-American, was doing as little as he possibly humanly could to defend his client, and to make the trial as quick and painless as possible
and
for himself.
I am familiar with lawyers. We call them, you know, all they want to do, this happens both in the public defender system and in private practice, lawyers that only want you to plea. They're not interested
right.
in taking any case to trial. They are just, if you pay me $1,500, you pay me $2,000, I'll represent you. Now, oftentimes they don't tell the client that I'm not trying this case for real. All I want you to do is plea. And that's what it sounded like this attorney did. If you plead or I'm not, you don't want me to try this case, because how do you try a case and you have a clean defendant who can tell his story and you don't even call your client to the stand?
They rarely put the client on the stand. You know, Michael had been in another altercation as a juvenile, and even that case, Michael was the victim rather than the aggressor, but the way the story was told in court, you know, he came out looking like the bad guy. But so he had that precedent. But I think, you know, he should have been on the stand, even though that would allow the district attorney to draw attention to his prior conviction as a juvenile. But the real problem was that there was, for instance, a high school coach who claims to have witnessed the assault on Justin Barker and claims that the person who threw the punch was some student other than Michael Bell. There were students who, some of the witnesses at trial came forward and said, well, it was a kid in a green jacket. We don't know who it was, but it wasn't Michael. You know, and so there was so much ambiguity surrounding the question of who actually perpetrated, the initial crime of throwing the punch that apparently knocked Justin Barker out cold on his feet, that, there was reasonable doubt all over the place. And yet during his closing remarks, Blaine Williams did not fashion one credible argument why or give the jury any reason to not go along with the prosecutor's story.
I mean, and even if this defense attorney had just spent his closing argument talking about the eyewitness, the victim of this blacked out, he can't identify anybody. There's a reason to question he and talk about the problem of eyewitness identification when you had a concussion and you were knocked out. You're not the one to identify anybody.
Yeah, well, the curious thing about it is that the coach who says he saw the attack says that the blow came from behind. He says Justin Barker was facing him, the coach, that Justin Barker was facing the person who was witnessing the thing, and the blow came from behind. And that would explain why Justin doesn't know or can't remember who hit him. And then the coach also said, and it wasn't Michael Bell, it was another student. The really ironic thing is that coach was never called to testify. And it's not surprising that the prosecution didn't call him, because he would have destroyed their case. But the defense didn't call him. And I suspect the reason was that the defense attorney had never gone through the eyewitness statements that were taken the day after the fight at school and combed through them for things that he could use. I suspect he didn't even do that much homework.
Because we wanted this boy to plead.
Yeah, that's
that,
right. And I think there is almost, this is a bold statement, and I can't document it, but I almost got the impression that he was punishing his defendant for forcing him to trial.
Mm. Well, he won.
That's right.
He won. His client got convicted. And where do we? Was there ever any explanation given by the prosecutor for dropping this down to aggravated second-degree battery and conspiracy charges?
No, Reed Walters was talking to the media all the time, making all kinds of prejudicial statements right after the boys were arrested. But in recent months, he has refused to talk to the media at all. So there has been no explanation of anything.
What about the burning of the building? Dr. Bean. What do we know about that, the school building that Tina talked about?
Well, there has been, of course, a thorough investigation, and absolutely no information has been released to the public, so it's impossible to speculate. It is significant, however, that right after the boys were arrested, and it's important to remember that the burning of the school and the school fight, and several other incidents that we may or may not get to today, occurred within just a very brief matter of days, just 4 or 5 days. Anyway, Reed Walters, when he made a statement about the fight at the school, said that he wanted to comment on the two incidents recently, which must have meant the fire and the fight. And then he describes these thugs that he's really going to go after and prosecute to the full extent of the law. So he really made it sound as if the boys who were responsible for the fight at school were also the boys who were responsible for the fire. And they were certainly prosecuted as if that were true. And I think emotionally, the entire town was in a state of post-traumatic stress syndrome. I mean, they were not thinking rationally.
Mm. So do we have any indication that somebody will be charged with this? Any speculation of who it would be?
My guess is that they would have filed charges long ago if that was the case.
Yeah.
My guess is it's going to go down as an unresolved case.
And my guess is that they know who did it, and it doesn't look like any of the boys that they've charged with these other crimes.
Yeah, I'm certain there is no overlap.
Mm. Dr. Alan Bean, Executive Director of Friends for Justice, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Wake Up Call.
It's been a pleasure.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. You know what? Thank you so much for listening. And you know what? Stay strong.
For all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more...